throw a party. In the UFC, we know how to kick back.
Bud Light's giving away thousands of trips to New Orleans for the Battle on the Bayou. Get in on the action at Facebook.com/Bud Light. Here we go.
Someone else's boarding pass was able to fly across the country last Friday. Security consultant Errol Souther says there's one key question.
He had identification that didn't match a boarding pass in New York. Again in Los Angeles, was able to successfully board an aircraft. So the first thing that comes to my mind is what would motivate him to have to do that?
The Nigerian national was arrested 5 days later. The Federal Trade Commission is investigating Twitter to see if the company is playing fair with rivals who build around Twitter's platform. Twitter isn't commenting. NBA players are locked out because of a disagreement with owners over money. Players Union Executive Director Billy Hunter says finding a fair deal will be tough.
We've been trying to arrive at a win-win for both sides, and I think that's part of the difficulty.
The league says the lockout will continue till there's a new collective bargaining agreement. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
How's it going? My name is Amy, and I work at Lowe's. July 4th is finally here, and we've got everything you need for a home improvement weekend. Like right now, get 18-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Or maybe it's time for a new appliance. Stop by and get 15% off all Energy Star appliances priced $397 or more. Lowe's. Let's build something together. Offers valid through 7/4/11. Special financing cannot be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. See store for details.
This is me, Dennis Miller. I'm proud to share that workplace productivity is plummeting thanks to a popular new trivia game called A Google a Day. The daily questions are so tough, you're actually encouraged to use Google to find the answer. For example, here's today's question. What is the name of the star used on one South American country's flag to represent its northernmost state? Think you know how to find the answer? Start playing at agoogleaday.com.
This is the day Apple's iPad finally may begin having a clear contending rival. The touchpad by Hewlett-Packard is rolled out officially today. It comes out more than a year after the iPad, whose sales have topped 25 million units. The touchpad is the first tablet to run WebOS, the operating system created by Palm, which HP bought last year. It starts at $499 and so far has 300 apps compared to the iPad's 90,000 apps. Apple and research and motion maker of the BlackBerry have dodged another legal battle bullet. The International Trade Commission has upheld a ruling that tossed a patent infringement lawsuit brought by Eastman Kodak, which claimed the companies had stolen its intellectual property related to imaging technology. After the defeat for Kodak, its stock plummeted 19% in late trades. Japan's Nikkei rose 0.5% in trading today. European markets slipping. S&P futures down a point. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
The state of our transportation system affects our commerce, our economy, and our future.
Ronald Reagan understood it. Bill Clinton, too. Transportation makes America work.
By modernizing and building roads, bridges, transit systems, and railways.
A network of highways and mass transit that has enabled our commerce to thrive.
Connecting millions of Americans to the economic mainstream.
Our country to grow.
Ushering in two decades of unparalleled growth.
The founding fathers knew. Strong transportation networks make America safer and more competitive. They even put it in the Constitution. And President Reagan knew that's one investment worth protecting.
Common sense tells us that it will cost a lot less to keep the system we have in good repair than to let it disintegrate and have to start over from scratch.
It's time for Congress to pass a robust 6-year highway and public transit bill. Because when Congress does its job, Americans can get to theirs.
Clearly, this program is an investment in tomorrow that we must make today.
Paid for by ARTBA and APTA.
Right now, the Home Depot has special financing for 12 months store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. With more time to pay, you can start your projects now. Stop letting the grass grow under that mower you want. Stop waiting on that new grill and start grilling on that new grill. Now's the time, thanks to 12 months financing store-wide. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through July 6, terms and conditions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
At Advance Auto Parts, we know the economy has been a bumpy road lately, but we'll help smooth things out with amazing deals on what you need to keep your car running great. Right now, our new 5-plus quarts jug of Valvoline conventional motor oil and filter are just $18.99. Plus, sign up for Valvoline's engine guarantee and get an additional $5 off through mail-in rebate. And with Advance's low price guarantee, we'll match our competitors' prices. Great prices at Advance Auto Parts. One more way.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Solidarity. A union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union. The state of being united. An organization of workers. Justice. The administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
Welcome, everybody, the Friday edition of First Shift. And we begin, as we conclude today's show, a three-day weekend for all of us, I'm happy to say. Hope you're all doing well this morning, as it's going to be a scorcher. The next few days are going to be awfully hot and humid. I am extremely excited with the temperatures going up. God bless my son, Christopher. I went out and bought, well, it's not Freon anymore, whatever you put in your car, your air conditioning, because I thought it was Freon, but it's not. It's called R something or other. Anyway, I went out and bought it. He refilled my air conditioning in my vehicle. It is now keeping temperature. And with some of the hot weather we've had this summer, it's been kind of unpleasant when I leave the studio. But today, I will bask in the glow of cool air. And I'm very much looking forward to that. Want to say, and Jeff and Todd, let's all say good morning to Patrick. We know Patrick's listening this morning. Sent us an awfully nice email yesterday that the three of us talked about this morning, and we enjoy Patrick's company and glad that he's there.
And thanks for the pictures as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Patrick, of course, has been a little obsessed with the streak, which, by the way, was broken again yesterday, so now we start over again today, hopefully. I've not had a good week with the streak. I only got up to 2 days, and I've, you know, kind of fallen back a couple different times this week.
Yeah, well, you're looking forward to the weekend, so you're a little distracted, perhaps. These are all hints, by the way, if anyone's listening for and they're obsessed with the streak.
Yes, and there are people. You know, Patrick's not the only one obsessed with the streak, by the way, although many have given up. Many have given up, and that's okay. That's all right. It is ours. We will hold on to it and treasure it, as you will. We have such a busy day today. I mean, if you take a look at between, you know, we have four guests today, Jeff. We've got more stuff to talk about than we can shake a stick at. Never understood that saying, but I like it. We've got all kinds of audio to share. We've got national journalists calling the President of the United States a dick, which we'll get to in a minute. This is just kind of a weird day. I mean, have you ever seen, I don't know if we've ever had a day that's this jam-packed before.
Well, we've got to get it all in before the three-day weekend. By the way, actually, not a three-day weekend, because everyone who wants to tune in on Monday, you're in for a treat.
What'd you do?
I put together a best of. The best of the Tony Tripiano show.
You know, you had kind of hinted yesterday that you were providing commentary.
Yeah.
Am I going to have to listen?
Yeah, of course you are.
Well, you know, what if I... No, wait a minute. I'm trying to sleep in here. Like I'm going to sleep till 6 o'clock. It would be lovely if I did, but it would even be lovelier if I slept till 9 o'clock. So you're not going to give me any hint at all? I got to wait like everybody else?
Well, you know, 6 o'clock, the 6 o'clock hour, I don't talk as much. The 7 o'clock is more interviews. But the 8 o'clock, so if you get up by 8, I save the
best for last?
Yeah, sure. Let's call it that.
All right. You know, it's so interesting that I ended up with the show, but you end up owning it. I'm trying to figure out how that happened.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, not a problem. Glad I could help your career out. You just let me know if you need anything, okay?
I'll let you know.
Anything I can do to support you, you just want you to know I'm there for you. Including, of course, my Tigers winning yesterday afternoon, Justin Verlander. And a shaky start.
In spite of what you said.
In spite of what, and in spite of what he said as well, by the way. I was getting a little worried because that first inning, we didn't have to wait to see how deep into the game we would go before he gave up a hit because it happened in the first inning. And, you know, it looked early on like he was going to have a shaky start. Now, he didn't have, I mean, you know, most other pitchers would be awfully happy with the game that he pitched yesterday. For him, it was a subpar game, but I'm not complaining. You know, the only two runs were homers, and he didn't give up one of them. He pitched seven solid innings, and we win 5-2, and I think we still have our fair share of first place, right? So what's there to complain about?
Not much.
I'm glad the Mets are out of town.
Yeah. Especially, especially when Verlander's not pitching.
Are we West Coast this weekend? Are we out to Oakland this weekend?
You caught me.
Okay. I'm just curious. I know we've got Kansas City coming up. I know we're on a road trip. I think we're on a road trip starting today. So, well, whatever. I mean, it's the holiday weekend. And, you know, you remember the old, you know, commercial baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet, or whatever it used to be?
Yep.
Yeah. So, 4th of July. What, do you have plans for the weekend?
I have to. The Tigers aren't out of town, in fact. The reason why I know that now is because I work Sunday.
Okay.
So, they're in town, and the Giants come to town. So, Sunday afternoon, I'll be at Shots.
That's a bar?
Shots, yeah, in Greektown. We'll talk Tigers from the seventh inning stretch on.
And our brother station, WDFN?
You got it.
Belizean going to be there?
No, it's going to be Shep.
Okay, well, Shep works too hard. They need to give Shep some time off.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, he puts in some hours, absolutely. Well, all right. Well, you know, I'm not promising you I'll be listening because it's the weekend. But I'm looking forward to the weekend. I truly am. I've got a lot of stuff I need to get caught up on, some reading especially. There are a couple books that I've got going that I'd like to read. Very quickly, before we go much further, a quick update, and I don't know what's going on, but I understand that the NFL talks hit a snag yesterday, but nobody knows what that snag is about, at least from what I could tell. Nobody knows what that snag is about. So some negative news coming out of the NFL talks yesterday. Of course, last night at midnight, or this morning, if you will, the National Basketball Association now has their own lockout. And that one may last a very, very, very long time.
And I'm not going to miss it one bit.
You're not alone. Listening to sports talk radio parts of the day yesterday and even this morning, early this morning, college basketball seems to be, and for some people that's true with football, but especially basketball, college basketball seems to be more than sufficient for most basketball fans, and they're just happy to have college basketball.
It's weird, isn't it? I'm more college basketball than NBA, but I'm more NFL than college football.
With you, that surprises me because you're just such a sports nut. Not that you're not a college football fan, because you are, but I understand your preference is pro football.
Right, yeah, I'm not saying I hate it. I just, you know, I prefer the NFL over college football.
Now, again, does that go to what, briefly, what we were talking about yesterday?
Yeah, probably.
Fantasy football?
Yep.
Yeah, because they just, although you did share with me yesterday, there is fantasy football for college football, but it's done by division, and it certainly isn't nearly as both profitable or popular as professional football.
Well, it probably can be profitable, depending on how, I don't know, if you get into a big money league. I mean, Vegas has all kinds of stuff like that, so.
Oh, absolutely.
But popular, no way.
You ever been to Vegas?
I have not. Have you?
Oh, yeah, many, many, many times. In fact, I've got a trip planned for October. So I will be taking a long weekend in October.
All right, I'll start working on the best of for those weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, wait, maybe I want to find a guest host.
Todd. Todd's not doing anything.
About you. We'll teach Todd to do the board, and then you can sit in for me.
Then I have to rely on Todd being awake for the show, though.
Well, I think the key to that is to just keep him up the night before and let him sleep during the day.
Yeah, good point. I think he's awake right now and already doing research for Song of the Day.
Oh, good. That's good. That's awesome. All right, very quickly, because we've got a lot to get to. Before we get to the break, let me tell you what's going on this morning, because we do have a lot to get to. Of course, your calls are always welcome. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And, of course, you're going to find us on Facebook at First Shift. We're up to 527 likes. It's been a good likes week. But we need more. We're you know, the goal is 1,000. I thought we would be to 1,000 by now. So we're way behind what my goal is. But the first shift Facebook poll question of the day, do you support legalizing same-sex marriage? There's the question. Go check it out. It will be up all day. With regard to yesterday's question, I'll get to the results of that a little bit later. Let me just get through the schedule for right now. We've got Steve Green from the Michigan Medical Marijuana Radio Network joining us today. There's been a lot of news lately surrounding medicinal marijuana, the Attorney General Bill Schuette, and lots of challenges in local municipalities to the law that was passed a few years back. So we'll have Steve, who does his own show on Saturdays right here on 1310 WDTW. He'll be with us. A little later on in the day, Crystal Williams will join us. She is the president of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, talking about the DREAM Act. Looking forward to that. Joe DeSano, our political strategist, will be with us for just one segment today because we have an 8:30 guest, and that will be James Cliff from the Michigan Environmental Council, who released a report this week that showed the devastating health effects of coal-burning plants in Michigan. And by the way, Jeff, interestingly enough, as I was reading for the show yesterday for today, they've just approved a new coal-burning plant in northern Michigan. So I thought it was kind of ironic that that was approved as we were getting ready to talk about why we shouldn't be burning coal in the state of Michigan. So we'll get to all that. And we've got a lot of audio to get to as well. I've got a lot of stories in front of me. And the big story of the day for me, which I'll get to before this hour is up, Right to Work. We talked about it with Chris Mihalakis, a former conservative member of the state Senate and the state House, is on a tear. And we're going to talk about the traitors that have joined him. That's right. I said traitors that have joined him in his effort to make Michigan a right to work state, which would be wrong for all of us. It is, 18 minutes after the hour? Sure, we'll go with that. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break here, and we'll be back right after we take this break.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Sunny skies today, a high near 89. Tonight, a chance of a thunderstorm, a low near 72. Tomorrow, possible thunderstorms and a high near 93. Right now, it's still hazy at Metro Airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Sunny skies today, a high near 89. Tonight, a chance of a thunderstorm, a low near 72. Tomorrow, possible thunderstorms and a high near 93. Right now, it's still hazy at Metro Airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Want to save on gas this summer? Use your Discover card and get 5% cash back bonus when you fill up all summer long. Limitations apply. For more details and to sign up, visit discover.com. It pays to get more. It pays to discover.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Truppiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark, welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, President of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you. See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
The Home Depot has lowered prices on items throughout the store, the products you need most. So you save money and get more out of every project you do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this edition of First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. 888-552-3595 is the toll-free number if you care to join us. The Detroit City Council and Mayor Bing finally did come to a resolution yesterday on the budget. It's noteworthy only in that the deadline was yesterday. The new budget takes effect today. And by the way, happy July to everybody. So let's take a listen to some of what happens post-agreement on the budget. We'll begin with Mayor Dave Bing, talking about, that they've chosen to work together.
I think that today is the beginning of a new effort here in Detroit of us working together.
Okay. Well, will it be based on history? One day, talk about a streak, Radford. Let's see how many days in a row they can work together. I'm not optimistic. Councilman Kwame Kenyatta, of course, had his own to say about what happened yesterday.
It shows that, even though we have disagreements and disputes about very serious issues, that we all have the common sense and the decency to come together and do what's best in the best interest of the citizens of the city.
And then, of course, former council president and interim mayor Ken Cockrell on his thoughts of what happened yesterday.
Got to remember, and President Pro Tem Gary Brown, who voted with me, was absolutely correct that by putting more money back into the budget, we're adding to the accumulated deficit.
And so he wasn't happy, and this was not a unanimous vote, by the way, if you haven't guessed that. Mayor Bing again on the council.
I didn't want them to tell me where to cut. One of the things that too many of them wanted to do was to cut police and fire and public safety, and I was adamantly against that. The layoffs will be a reality. There's no way around that. And with those layoffs, obviously going to be some service problems.
And this is problematic, by the way. Although he claims that there won't be any police or firemen cut, our AFSCME brothers and sisters might be a little nervous this morning. No question that's true. And last but not least, of course, there were some good feelings in the room. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you very much. It's time to go to work.
And it is time to go to work. Now we will see what happens. Ultimately, and I'm just going to leave this conversation with this. Ultimately, they ended up back where they began. So this was kind of a wasted week, if you will. Maybe even a wasted 2 weeks, where they certainly knew that they were going to end up where they were at. Of course, maybe it's the heat of the moment. Maybe it's the deadline that they need to get this stuff done. The bottom line is the city of Detroit is no healthier as a result of this budget. They haven't really solved any problems as a result of this budget, and they are still ignoring the larger issues, which is mismanagement and, you know, ultimately giving people reasons to want to be in Detroit. And if we don't want to be there, folks, they're not going to raise the kind of dollars they need. If they can't, you know, figure out an environment that people want to live in, their tax base will never increase. And they can only turn to the state so often. They can only ask the suburbs to do so much. And, all right, they've got a budget. I don't think this is a time to celebrate. I think it's a time to really take a serious, serious look at the leadership in the city of Detroit. And these folks have some critical decisions to make as they move forward. There's no question that's
true. And looking at the numbers, trying to put it into perspective, I mean, aren't we talking about hundreds of millions of dollars for the total budget? And they were fighting over $30 million. And then they compromised and came to an agreement with only $5 million different?
Well, it was a little more than $5 million, but you basically have it right, yes. I mean, you basically... You know, the part that I find kind of offensive is city council said, no, we will not allow the mayor to return any of that money back, you know, because the mayor said that he could find another $50 million to put in the budget. City council said, no, at the end of the day, they allowed him to return $30 million back, which is $30 million in debt, Jeff. So it makes no sense. I mean, you know, it makes no sense at the end of the day. This is nothing to really celebrate, but it is what it is.
Now, all part of hundreds of millions of dollars for the total budget, though. So it's in a sense, sounds like a drop in the bucket.
Well, in a sense, it is. I mean, we're talking about a $1.3 billion budget, and they were arguing about $30 million of it, which is, you know, again, $30 million is a lot of money, but it's a drop in the bucket when you're looking at a budget of $1.3 million. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all sleight of hand. Which politics and budgeting seems to be all about. We'll move on, and we'll wish the city of Detroit luck, and we'll see what they fight about next. Again, because the next battle is probably today or Tuesday, but it's, you know, this just happens to be an issue that they've put behind them very, very short term. Yesterday during the show, I got an email that I shared with you, Radford, from a guy named Bob, who was trying to tell me, like lots of people do, as you know, how to do my show. And he didn't like the Republican bashing. Well, yesterday on the Morning Joe show on MSNBC, Joe Scarborough is, of course, the host of that. This is what was said by a national journalist. A nationally recognized journalist had this to say about President Obama.
And then they quietly worked the deal behind the scenes.
Are we in the 7-second delay today?
Oh, Lord.
No. I wanted to characterize how I thought the president behaved.
How do you think you
Well, we have it. We can use it, right, Alex?
Yeah, sure. Come on.
Yeah.
Take a
Go
chance.
For
have
it.
Faith.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Just,
Alex,
I'm
hit the
behind
button.
You. You fall down. I'm going to catch you.
And the president has been set. On
okay,
show,
sorry. Go
so
ahead.
We're good.
I thought he was kind of a dick yesterday.
Oh
my God. Delay that. Delay that. What are you doing?
I think the president...
I can't believe you. I was joking. Don't do that. Did we delay that?
I hit it. I hope it works.
Okay. Okay, well, my mom's watching, so we'll know whether that worked or not.
Hold on.
Holy cow. Check the technology.
I gotta say, I'm not shocked by mine, but that kind of shocked me. I mean, seriously, you can't shock me. I was just really with you guys.
I'd like to hear more of your analysis. I'll clean it up.
What were they shocked about? Jeff, seriously, what were they shocked about? Like, these people never talk like that?
I just thought it was funny. They were goading him, like, come on, you can say it. We've got a delay. It's nothing we've never heard before. And then he says it, and they're just, like, falling out of their chairs. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you said that. I think it's because he said it about the president, I think.
Well, actually, what he said wasn't about... He wasn't calling the president... a dick. He was saying he acted like one. Now, you know, we can argue what that means. I'm not necessarily sure that's a bad thing. You know, think about it, Jeff. Is that necessarily a bad thing? You know, sometimes when you need to be tough, people are going to characterize it as you being that way, right?
Sometimes.
Well, so I don't, you know, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, it's, I mean, obviously, I've just said the word a couple times. It's not like it's not allowed on television or radio. I just find their reaction to it a bit odd. Okay, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tonyatthetonyshow.org. We're going to take a quick break here. We have a lot to get to, I assure you, including right to work. I am I'm laser focused on this. I'll get to it when we come back. Stay with us on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. We're still watching that accident southbound 275. It's taking quite a while to clear southbound south of 9 Mile. It's in the median. The two left lanes are affected. The two right lanes, traffic is squeezing through there, but everyone's slowing down to take a look. And we are backed up toward I-96 and 696 for those trying to go south on 275.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Sunny skies today, a high near 89. Tonight, a chance of a thunderstorm, a low near 72. Tomorrow, possible thunderstorms and a high near 93. Right now, it's still hazy at Metro Airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
We will strike to defend our pensions, and it will be a campaign of strike action without precedent. Yes, we hope for the best. Yes, we will negotiate, but we plan for the worst. And today, this is our union's call to arms.
That's Dave Prentice, head of the 1.3 million member British Union Unison. Hundreds of thousands of British teachers and other public workers went out in a national strike Thursday to defend their pensions. The government is trying to cut pensions in various ways in austerity budget moves. Workers and their unions say these pension cuts are not needed, and if there's money to bail out banks and money for war, then there's money for public services. The strike Thursday closed 80% of British schools and public transit was disrupted. Prentice warned the government that this fight over pensions is very serious and could ultimately be the largest, most sustained strike action in British history.
The fight of our lives may be an overused cliche, but that is what this is. And it's a fight that we can win, it's a fight that we must win, and together it's a fight that we will win.
Canadian postal workers are back to work, but they may legally challenge a government-imposed contract. Jesse Russell reports.
On Tuesday, Postal Service in Canada attempted to return to normal as workers dug through a two-week-old backlog. Employees had been on strike against and locked out by Canada Post for 2 weeks due to the inability of the Postal Service and the Canadian Union of Postal Workers to reach a contract agreement. The Canadian government stepped in and imposed a 4-year contract on the workers. The union plans to challenge the legislation as it imposes the demands of the employer on the workers, even providing the workers with lower wages than in the original contract proposal. The union plans to take the issue to court and may also file a complaint with the Human Rights Commission. The basis of the complaint would be that new hires and veterans wouldn't have the same pension benefits, and that, allegedly, amounts to discrimination.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano.
And first shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back 35 minutes after the hour, just to kind of clean up our conversation on what happened on MSNBC yesterday. Mark Helprin, by the way, is a Time Magazine journalist, was on with the Morning Joe crew, including Joe Scarborough and the rest of the crew. And he called the president a dick. And so, yeah, there was some outrage over that. Most people were calling it a gaffe, despite the fact that Helprin's statement was obviously intentional and lighthearted. MSNBC issued a statement suspending Helprin as an analyst, which said, Mark Helprin's comments this morning were completely inappropriate and unacceptable. We apologize to the president, the White House, and all of our viewers. We strive for a high level of discourse, and comments like these have no place on our air. Therefore, Mark will be suspended indefinitely from his role as an analyst. I think that's a huge overreaction to what happened yesterday. Just my thoughts, that's all.
You don't think he should have been suspended?
No, I don't think he should have been suspended. I don't think it's that big a deal. It was just a flip comment. He has a right to his opinion. He has the First Amendment on his side. This is not an FCC-banned word. In any way, shape, or form.
And MSNBC was like coaxing him into it. They were trying to get him to say, you know, hey, they're reminding him about the 7-second delay. They're really really getting into him. Well, come on, you know, I mean, ESPN does this too, and a lot of those network shows want these people to go out on a limb and say something shocking so that the audience is more engaged. And then when they say something that is along these lines, maybe not crossing the line, but like butting right up against it. They back away and say, oh, wait, we didn't know you were going to say that. And it's almost like two-faced.
Yeah, there is certainly some semblance of that as well. Again, he said it in such a passing way. During the break, I'm sitting here going, okay, what would be another way to say it to kind of capture what he meant? And so, because, again, you can use that word. In the context, you use it in a couple different ways, but basically, you know, I think he was saying the president was being a jerk yesterday, right? Is that how you would read it? That's, I guess, how I read it.
Right. Well, they wanted him to have more of a reaction for the audience, so he went a little step further.
Right. So I just don't see it as being a big deal, Jeff. I really don't. And, you know, I think we've become too overly sensitive and certainly way too politically correct in this country. And this is one of those instances where a total overreaction to something that they were goading him to do to begin with, which is again the lunacy. So yeah, there is some hypocrisy to that, some two-facedness, if you will. Just kind of crazy. Let me get to a couple announcements before I get on to some more serious stuff. On Saturday, July 9th. At the Lapeer County Courthouse, I will be one of the featured speakers at a rally. It is a nonpartisan rally, and you are all invited, of course, if you live in the Lapeer area or anywhere for that matter. And, of course, in the spirit of the First Amendment, there will be all kinds of speakers there. There will be entertainment as well. And there's going to also be a small, parade would be a way to put it, starting at 10:45. People are going to meet at the Lapeer-Meyer parking lot on DeMille Boulevard. 11 o'clock, there will be a march downtown to the courthouse. And then at 12, from 12 to 3, there's going to be speakers and music and all kinds of festivities. And so that is upcoming Saturday, July 9th, which would be a week from tomorrow. So I will be out there about 1 o'clock or so to speak to those wonderful people. Also on Saturday, July 9th, Liz Winstead, the co-creator and former head writer for Comedy Central's The Daily Show, will be appearing at the Historic Eagle Theater in Pontiac. She's actually going to be a guest with us next Tuesday. And Liz has been kind enough to give us some tickets to give away on the show. And so we'll be giving those away next week as well. But if you'd like tickets and don't want to wait and don't want to rely on your chances to win a few tickets, you can go to miplannedparenthood.org. That's PlannedParenthood.org. It is a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood. Tickets are only $30, and the proceeds go to help Planned Parenthood of Michigan. So go check that out. Simple enough to do that. I also, this morning, was invited to the Troy Democratic Club is having a picnic on July 16th. I was invited to attend that, so I'm going to look forward to going there. You know, this speaking thing, Radford's kind of catching on.
You're getting you're liking it, aren't you?
Well, I enjoy meeting the people that listen to the show. You know, you don't really get a chance to do. You do radio, so you get this. I mean, beyond doing this show, you know, I know you host stuff on DFM from time to time. I know you've got your own show in Ann Arbor, and so you don't always get a chance to mingle, if you will, with your audience. So it's nice to meet people in person.
No, I still have the nice part of nobody really knowing who I am, so I can walk among people and not get, you know, not people come up to me and say, hey, or this or that, or...
Well, that's one of the benefits to radio in general, is most people don't recognize you.
Well, it depends. If you're good, obviously you walk around, people notice you. People notice, Sean Belizean. People notice certain people. I'm still yet undiscovered, I guess, or maybe, you know, I guess that's not the correct words, but I can go into a locker room and nobody, you know, cares. They just think I'm a kid holding a mic, you know, because I still look way younger than I am. So that, to me, I kind of like that I'm a little anonymous.
You like that anonymity, do you?
For right now, yeah.
Let's see what we can do to change.
I knew I shouldn't have said that.
Nah, you know me. I hate the status quo. You know, have you? I'll start this one with a personal story. You know, I use my debit card for a lot of stuff, and as you know, that, you know, like when you buy gas, they tack money onto it, onto the gallon of gas. You know, somewhere between 7 and I don't know, I've seen it as high as 9 cents between the gas price and the quote-unquote credit card price. And recently, we ordered pizza, and when I went to order the pizza, I said to the gal that answered the phone, I'd like to put this on my credit card. She goes, well, there's a 10% fee to do that. 10% fee, Jeff, not 10 cents fee. 10%.
Now, see, that's illegal, though, isn't it? I thought the gas stations can get away with it because what they're doing is saying the gas is actually this much, but we're offering you an incentive to pay cash. Now, when you actually negotiate a fee or a charge for something, and then there's a fee for using your credit card, that's illegal, isn't it?
I thought so. And certainly I called back, you know, I called back when an owner was there and talked to them, and that discussion did not go well. Yesterday, I, again, doing research for the show, doing my reading, run across the stories that banks now can legitimately charge 21 cents every time a business swipes your card. They can charge you 21 cents. That's a lot of money. Now, it used to be 12 cents per swipe, but, of course, lobbyists doing their job was able to get that up to 21 cents. Now, banks currently have no limit and charge an average of 44 cents per swipe. So it's going to actually save us money in the long run, but it's still a lot of money. And I'm just curious if other people are having that same experience that I have. You know, beyond just the gasoline where you've got the credit price and the cash price. As example, I'd gone to the dry cleaner, and the guy said, if you pay me cash, I'll give you 5% off the total on your bill. I just thought it was kind of, you know, people don't want to take plastic anymore. And I'm just wondering if other people are having that issue. Have you run into that at all, Jeff?
I try to say I have this personal boycott. If I see that on a sign where a gas station says cash versus credit, then I just don't go there. Like, I mean, if you're going to be that snooty or whatever, 5 cents difference between your gas prices, I try not to shop there.
Well, most gas stations do that. I mean, I'm trying to think. I know that Kroger doesn't do it. And, you know, I've got my Kroger card, which actually gives me, you know, it can actually get up to $1 off a gallon of gas, based on how many points you have on your card. I've never been up that high. But I think Kroger doesn't charge more if you use a credit card. And I'm actually using a debit card. I don't have a credit card. I don't own a credit card, period.
I'm with you. I'm debit all the way, too.
Yeah, I don't need one. If I can't afford it, then I'm not buying it. In fact, the only thing that, beyond my mortgage, the only thing that I really finance are my automobiles. And so I just, you know, just the way I am. I don't believe in credit. And I actually changed that years ago. I'll bet you it's been at least 10 years since I've had a credit card, if not longer. Now, that does, by the way, mess with your credit when you don't have credit cards. So it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing. But I'd rather not have the credit card. So 21 cents, they're charging up to 44 cents. But this whole thing that now they're, you know, you can save money by paying cash. Of course, we don't all have cash on us, right? Because we were supposed to be living in more of a plastic world. So it's kind of weird. I mean, and I think we're being penalized, and they keep changing the rules on us, and it's not fair. All right, a quick break here. Stephen Monroe, when we come back, and then I want to get to this right to work issue because we don't have a lot of time left in the show. We really don't. I've got lots of guests today, so I want to make sure I get some important talking points in before we get out of here today. But for this hour, we're just going to take the break. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. Thanks for punching in this morning. Steve will come to you next. Stay with us on 1310 WDTW.
News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Kids don't come with instruction manuals. I'm Stacy Bachman, and I'd like to invite you to join my husband, Steve, and I here on 1310 WDTW Saturdays at 9 a.m., where on a weekly basis we'll bring you interviews with national and international experts, along with the best tips and techniques and newest information to help you and your child overcome the challenges and hurdles that you're facing so they can reach their highest potential. It's not an instruction manual, just parents helping parents. The My Great Kid Radio Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on 1310 WDTW and on the web at MyGreatKid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. And participate in McDonald's.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. 888-552-3595. I'm going to go to the phones. I want to welcome Stephen Monroe. Steve, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind, sir?
Hi, Tony.
Happy 4th of July to you.
And happy to you and your family.
Thank you.
These fees that you're starting to see on the credit cards are is the beginning stages of the financial regulatory reform. What they did is they told the banks how much they could charge on the interchange fee, which was going to the merchants. So they put a cap on that. So now you're seeing the banks adjust, and that's why you're starting to see more of these fees come on the credit card.
Wow. I mean, Steve, you know, this is kind of devastating. And again, it changes, it changes the rules. I'm not going to claim to understand all this because I don't. But,
right.
But it's, again, this is one of those things that's unfair to the consumer.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah, I'm agreeing. It's frustrating. I work in that industry, and, it's frustrating from our end, too.
Well, I know that when I owned my restaurants, obviously, we took credit cards, and I know that, and that was a couple of years ago, and I know the rules have changed in the last couple of years, so I'm not up to speed on that now. But certainly, there was a time where you could negotiate, your fee with your processor, because sometimes they were a bit hefty. But I don't think those opportunities really exist anymore, Steve. It's just very confusing, and it's punitive to the consumer at the end of the day. I mean, that's my problem with it, is just to use the card is costing you, in some cases, significant money, like in the case of that pizza joint where they wanted to tack 10% onto the price of or the cost of that pizza to cover their costs of processing my card, which I think is highway robbery as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. But again, this is because of the financial regulatory reform. They put a cap on how much the banks can charge the merchants through the interchange fee, and now you're seeing that quote-unquote cost being passed down to the consumer.
Well, I know that the Federal Regulatory Board, with regard to that 21 cents fee, they were charging 44 cents. The initial amount was going to be 12 cents, and they negotiated that up to 21 cents. So, again, the consumers at the end of the day lose. Don't say, yeah, but Tony, instead of paying 44, we're paying 21. This is just the beginning. The banks will figure out a way to get more money out of us. They're already squeezing us with our statements. They've already changed the rules. You know, you already don't have free checking anymore. It just gets very, very frustrating. Steve, thank you. Thank you so much for that call. Very, very, and I wish I had more time, and I'm certainly going to spend some significant time on this next week. But I early in the day after the show yesterday, I got an email from my friend Zach Pohl at We Are the People. And former state-elected Jack Hogendyke is leading an effort, leading a group to introduce legislation that we have talked about on the show that's called Right to Work. Now, basically, Right to Work legislation would take away your union rights. It's another union-busting bill. That's exactly what it is. It's no more than that. I've shared with you, and I will continue to do this. I will continue to educate you. Right-to-work states have higher unemployment, have lower wages. Right-to-work states are dangerous. They are dangerous. And we do not want to be a right-to-work state in any way, shape, or form. Again, they were able to, label it right-to-work, which makes it sound positive. Oh, good. Yes, I need the right to work. Right-to-work for less is what it really ends up being. Now, I'm taking a little bit of a risk here, and I know it's really early on in the morning, but, people do listen to this on podcast, and depending on who's listening right now, but I need to say this, and I need to say this loud and clear. Organized labor, who I love, who I believe is the answer to what ails us right now, and I really do believe that. If you go to my thetonyshow.org and you read my last blog piece, that pretty much captures how I feel unions can move us forward as a state and as a country, as a community. They need to come together, They need to stop playing this separate but equal game, this change to win versus AFL-CIO. They need to throw away change to win. And I know that this is going to upset some in the labor movement. I don't care. If there was ever a time for solidarity in this country, that time is now. And to our union leaders that may be hearing this right now, and to union men and women that work very, very hard to earn their keep, we need to unite to defeat the Republicans who are united and committed to defeating us. We can no longer pretend. We can no longer pretend that this isn't real. We cannot live separate existences. We need to fight harder than we've ever fought in our lives. Listen to what I'm saying. They are chipping away at organized labor. They are laughing at collective bargaining. What they did with teacher tenure yesterday in the state legislature is wrong. Dead frickin' wrong. If we don't start to work together, we will lose what we have left. We are just starting to see unions grow again. We have got to let go of all of that stuff that has separated us in the past and begin to move forward united as one. So whether you're an operating engineer, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a Teamster, whether you're a member of the UFCW or another member of the UAW, whether you're the member of the postal workers, I don't care what union you belong to. We can no longer afford to separate. We need to come together and we need to fight these battles in tremendously important ways. This will be an issue. Now, the governor and the Senate majority leader have said that they will not support right to work, but that doesn't mean that they won't. If it becomes an issue, and it did yesterday, and it ends up making its way to the governor's desk, will he sign it? Do you really want to take that risk? Do you really want to give up what we fought so hard to attain to this point in our history? Do you not get that literally the middle class is in the bullseye target of every Republican legislature in the state of Michigan and across this great land of ours? Do you not get that? And so my call today is to union leaders to come together and to figure out a way to build a movement that will defeat this feeble effort that is eating away at the middle class. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. A lot to get to in the next hour. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW.
Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Sunny skies today, a high near 89. Tonight, a chance of a thunderstorm, a low near 72. Tomorrow, possible thunderstorms and a high near 93. Right now, it's still hazy at Metro Airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW.
Identify.
yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour. A new twist in the DSK sex assault case. Prosecutors apparently have doubts about the story from a hotel maid who accuses former International Monetary Fund director Dominique Strauss-Kahn of trying to rape her. CNN's Jim Bitterman tells us people in Paris are keeping a close eye on this case out of New York.
Dominique Strauss-Kahn was the leading candidate, although not declared, for president of France on the Socialist Party ticket. And, of course, when he was arrested, that was a bombshell. And now if he should be cleared of these charges later on in the day or even partially cleared of these charges, that will be another bombshell.
Prosecutors will tell the court about their concerns today. Minnesota's government is shut down for the second time in 6 years. Republican presidential candidate Tim Pawlenty, who was governor during the last shutdown, blames Democrats for trying to raise taxes and failing to make significant spending cuts.
I applaud the Republicans for standing strong, and I hope they'll continue to stand strong and draw a line on living within the means that are available, the revenues that are available, and making sure that they don't raise taxes. And the Democrats are the ones that are driving this finances towards the cliff.
However, Governor Mark Dayton blames Republicans for opposing tax increases for the rich. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner denies reports he's about to leave his job.
I live for this work. It's the only thing I've ever done. I believe in it. We have a lot of challenges as a country. I'm going to be doing it for the foreseeable future.
A source says Geithner's considering leaving once Congress has a deal on the debt ceiling. More than 1,200 firefighters are battling the huge fire near the Los Alamos nuclear lab in New Mexico. The facility is still closed. NBA players and owners can't agree on money, so the players are now locked out. The league says the lockout will continue till there's a new collective bargaining agreement. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Protection against web-based threats like malware and phishing has become a serious challenge for companies with distributed workforces. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Web Security Flex combines physical and virtual gateways with cloud services to protect both on-site and remote users from a single portal. Stop web threats. Visit Barracuda.com/Flex to try Barracuda Web Security Flex free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/Flex.
Somewhere in America, the blades of a turbine turn slowly above the windswept plain. This solitary turbine could power over 500 homes, but only if the power can reach them. Fortunately, Siemens Smart Grid Solutions help get energy from many different sources to where it's needed, reliably and efficiently. Smart answers help the environment, and the over 60,000 U.S. employees of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
Hewlett-Packard realizes it's late to the game. It admits to the Wall Street Journal it knows it's the fifth man in a four-man race. Talking about tablets, this morning HP's touchpad debuts. Price starts at $499. Analysts think it may have success as much because of marketing as features. If you walk into any of 100 Best Buy stores for the next 6 months, you'll bump into HP employees giving a live touchpad demo and sales pitch. First day of a new month, and that means what it usually means for economic reports. We have a stack of them. Coming up after the opening bell, we get the final reading of consumer sentiment for June. We get the June report on manufacturing from the Institute for Supply Management, and we get the May reading of construction spending. Ahead of all that, U.S. stock futures are higher for the fifth morning in a row. S&P futures gaining a point, NASDAQ futures up 5, Dow futures up 29. Japan's Nikkei rose 0.5% today. Europe's markets are slipping. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
The state of our transportation system affects our commerce, our economy, and our future.
Ronald Reagan understood it. Bill Clinton, too. Transportation makes America work.
By modernizing and building roads, bridges, transit systems, and railways.
A network of highways and mass transit that has enabled our commerce to thrive.
Connecting millions of Americans to the economic mainstream.
Our country to grow.
Ushering in two decades of unparalleled growth.
The founding fathers knew. Strong transportation networks make America safer and more competitive. They even put it in the Constitution. And President Reagan knew. That's one in investment worth protecting.
Common sense tells us that it will cost a lot less to keep the system we have in good repair than to let it disintegrate and have to start over from scratch.
It's time for Congress to pass a robust 6-year highway and public transit bill. Because when Congress does its job, Americans can get to theirs.
Clearly, this program is an investment in tomorrow that we must make today.
Paid for by ARTBA and APTA.
How's it going? My name is Amy, and I work at Lowe's. July 4th is finally here, and we've got everything you need for a home improvement weekend. Like right now, get 18-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Or maybe it's time for a new appliance. Stop by and get 15% off all Energy Star appliances priced $397 or more. Lowe's. Let's build something together. Offers valid through 7/4/11. Special financing cannot be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. See store for details.
This is me, Dennis Miller. I'm proud to share that workplace productivity is plummeting thanks to a popular new trivia game called A Google a Day. The daily questions are so tough, you're actually encouraged to use Google to find the answer. For example, here's today's question. What is the name of the star used on one South American country's flag to represent its northernmost state? Think you know how to find the answer? Start playing at agoogleaday.com.
Every minute matters.
It's about taking action that makes a real difference in real people's lives.
Time to engage.
How does it feel to wake up this morning and be the most hated man in Michigan?
Target locked.
I have a bold vision for Michigan's future.
And people are saying, well, they're getting this huge break. Well, I don't believe that's really true. Shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice.
Ready the Snyder Fighter.
It is time for a new era. It is time for
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on this Friday morning as, you know, we are going to begin a three-day weekend. Hopefully, many of you will get the opportunity to enjoy the fruits of your very, very hard work and that you'll have some time off for yourself and for your family. I mean, that is my prayer for you. I want to remind you that our first shift poll question of the day is a simple one today. Do you support legalizing same-sex marriage in the United States? President Obama is beginning to talk like he is more open-minded toward that kind of philosophy. I think as a country we're what ready. You know, the state of New York just approved same-sex marriage last week. Although we leave the transgendered community out again, and my dear friend Michelle Phillips-Fox, you know, sent me a really heartbreaking note the other day, and I certainly appreciate her sentiments and what she had to say. But, you know, there's a lot going on. There's no question that there's a lot going on. And many of you will recall a few years back when the people of the state of Michigan approved the use of medicinal marijuana, medical marijuana in the state of Michigan. There were those that said that would never happen. Well, it did. That's not to say it hasn't been without its difficulties, including the people that drafted it spelling marijuana wrong, but we'll leave that aside for just a moment. Let me remind you that if you want to join us throughout the program at any time, our toll-free number is 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, the email address tony@thetonyshow.org. Jeff, go ahead and hit that audio.
The issue that has so many hot under the collar revolves around how the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act is written. Michigan's Attorney General Bill Schuette Tuesday standing up for people who are upset by how many of them have popped up in the state and who may actually be getting help. Bottom line, marijuana, he fears, may be getting into the wrong hands.
Everywhere I go, people say, you know, Bill, I voted for the medical marijuana bill, but I didn't vote to have pot shops and drug houses on every corner. I didn't vote to have legalization of marijuana.
Schuette filing a brief in support of the city of Livonia, all because of a medical marijuana dispensary there. He supports the rights of cities to have more zoning control. Also, he wants to make sure that the language of the bill is followed. 12 marijuana plants in one enclosed area.
But the ACLU is arguing this and challenging this legally, saying that local communities don't have the right to stop medical marijuana clinics from opening up in neighborhoods like yours.
They're representing a woman in Livonia, the ACLU is. A spokesperson from the Michigan Medical Marijuana Radio Network releasing this statement saying, quote, his argument is both unprofessional, not well thought out, and full of obvious holes on his face. Mr. Schuette only wants to turn these, remember, seriously ill people into prisoners, end quote.
We've seen instances where 8,000 plants were found in a location in southern Michigan, and you know, the math on that would be is that that's slightly more than the 12 plants that have been permitted by the voters' initiatives.
So what's next? Well, some of these cases head to the courts. In fact, two cases are pending in the Michigan Supreme Court regarding these dispensaries. The Attorney General says eventually this topic may become so controversial, so heated, it may end right back up in the voters' hands. In Lansing, Roop Raj, Fox 2 News.
And there we go. Joining me now is Steve Green. Steve is with the Michigan Medical Marijuana Radio Network. Of course, his show is heard noons right here on 1310 WDTW on Saturdays. And Steve Green, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. Are you sure marijuana is spelled with an H, Tony? I'm not sure.
Well, not as long as I've been smoking it. So I'm just, you know, maybe they've changed it, you know. Steve, you know, I look at an ultra conservative right wing whack job as our Attorney General in Bill Schuette. I understand that, Steve, he's going to put his spin on what the law is, and the law is the law, and you know he can spin it any way he wants. But at the end of the day, isn't he over dramatizing what's really going on? I mean, we don't have pot shops on every corner, and we're not legalizing marijuana.
Well, you know. I don't think the voters ever really intended to legalize marijuana. I think these are things that the Attorney General can say to gain some easy favor for his position, which is to basically keep marijuana illegal on every level, on every plane, so that basically police can continue to police for profit, because that's what's really going on with this endeavor. This is not about marijuana. This is not about keeping it off the streets or controlling it or keeping kids or children of churches safe. This is about control of money. Think nothing else about it.
Yeah, but Steve, when we take a look at this woman in Livonia who is obviously quite ill, and if anybody saw either the story in the paper or saw, you know, the piece on, and actually all the networks carried it, you know, this is an elderly woman who is legitimately sick, who has an older husband who is just trying to help his wife, you know, have a little dignity. And you know, these are end of life care issues as far as this family is concerned. Yet they're turning these folks into criminals. And at some level, I mean, that's beyond offensive. And really to, you know, to focus especially on the sick and the weak seems to me, you know, wrong. I mean, this is just immoral, actually.
Well, I think it's beyond immoral. It's unconscionable to think that you would prey on the sick and the weak and the defenseless to make a position or to take a stand or for any special interest purpose. It's, you know, you don't do that in any society.
Well, you know, Steve Green, as we take a look at this issue, we do know that obviously in California there are other states that have the legalized medicinal marijuana. Everything's working just fine. Why can't we just go to those places where it's working well and adopt their system and just let this go?
Well, partly because legislation in this state has always dragged its feet in trying to get this issue on board with the people that write laws in this state. And that's why this ended up becoming a people's referendum, because that's the thing that you're left with when lawmakers won't do your bidding, when they won't stand up for their constituencies' wishes. The people end up taking this in their own hands and passing an initiative, and that's what they did.
Well, that is true. That is exactly what they did. So now we take a look at these municipalities that are now deciding that they're going to regulate and legislate by ordinance what can or cannot happen in their own communities. That seems to me to be unconstitutional.
Well, it seems to me to be, too, and that is the very battle that I'm taking to court myself. I don't know if you know it or many people know it or not, but I've managed to have to sue Lyon Township in Oakland County for threatening me under that very auspice.
Can you give us more details, Steve, because we're not aware of this.
Well, here's what happened. You know, I've always said I've never hidden from the idea that I'm a patient and I'm a caregiver. I'm not proud of the idea, but I'm not hiding from it either. And I'll be damned if I'm going to run with my tail between my legs because I have an illness. I will never do that. And I'll cry like Charleston Heston. You will pry that marijuana from my cold, dead hand, because that's exactly what it'll be if you intend to take it from me. And that's what they're trying to do. They came to my home, and they threatened me. We're gonna arrest you under federal law if you continue to persist in growing marijuana at this location for another 30 days. We're going to take you to jail as a prisoner. This is illegal, and you can't do this here. And I said, excuse me, but I'm enjoying my rights here, and you have no business here telling me what to do. Go away. They did. They went away. They came back again, and they threatened me again after I had taken them to court. And they made it announced. They announced it. So they said, I said, why are you picking on me? Why are you picking on a guy with HIV that's just trying to medicate himself using a medicine that the people have approved and that my doctor has stepped in and said that this is something that'll help you? It's ridiculous that any county or township or government entity of any sort would stick their nose between the business, between a doctor and his patient. And that's why I had to take them to court. I'm not going to stand for this. I'm not going to let them make a criminal out of me before I take them to court and show off who they really are, show off their true colors.
And I'm assuming that you filed this case in Oakland County Court. Where are you at with this case, Steve Green?
Well, it's still standing by. There are a lot of cases that are similar to mine. There are, of course, you mentioned the Livonia case. It's very similar in nature. These people are simply asking that they declare, and that's what my case asks to do. It seeks to ask the judge to declare the enforcement of such an ordinance unachievable. In other words, that it would have no effect simply because you can't overrule with a local law a state law.
Well, you know, again, all that is true. So let's, for a moment, and before we get to the break here, Steve Green, and let me remind everybody, Steve is the host of his own radio show right here at noon on Saturday on 1310 WDTW. He's part of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Radio Network. And, you know, Steve, the law may not be perfect. And you know, so let me just get your feelings on the law as it stands right now. Do you feel that as it's written, it is clear enough and should be let to just stand the way it is?
I think how you're supposed to read these laws, is with the common man's vernacular, with the common man's language. And I would think that the common man would have no problem with the term continuous and uninterrupted supply, with no problem with the terms medical use. This is a simple thing, and I think if you look at the language of the act, it's really not that ambiguous.
All right, Steve, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we got to get to the break here. It is not. It is unambiguous. That is true. Steve Green, again, my guest. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll take the break. We'll be back the other side of this. Stay with us.
Tony Truppiano. Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update, Tony, includes all good news. We've got light traffic, not seeing any big delays, although we are seeing bright sunshine, and that could be a little tough at times to see, so be careful through that. But you're not having to avoid any areas or add extra time to part of your commute on any of the roadways.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today, our high near 89. Tonight, chance of isolated thunderstorms, a low near 72. Tomorrow, possible storms and a high near 93. Right now, it is hazy at Metro Airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Vernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on our show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed the last medical marijuana radio show, you missed a lot.
Three people from Marshall's Alternatives in Fowlerville were arraigned.
The rumor has it there's going to be a lot of raids this summer, and we're preparing more protests. Wherever they raid, we're going to be there.
I think it's bull. I don't think that they should be allowed to do this.
I want my police department and the police force focused on crime.
It's the Medical Marijuana Radio Show, Saturdays, noon till 1, right here on AM 1310 Detroit Progressive Talk or on RadioWeedShow.com.
Hey, Steve Green here for Coco's Original Cannabis Formula Nutrients. What are you, crazy? Spending all that money on all those newts and other places that aren't made for growing cannabis? Coco's Original Cannabis Formula Nutrients. Go to RadioWeedShow.com right now and check out the promotional pictures. Call now, 517-375-8998. That's 517-375-8998 for Coco's Original Cannabis Formula Nutrients.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW. Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Well, welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Thanks for punching in this morning. My guest, Steve Green from the Michigan Medical Marijuana Radio Network. His show heard every Saturday right here at, yes, high noon on 1310 WDTW. We're talking about the Michigan Medical Marijuana law, and it is under attack, and seemingly with the new, very conservative attorney general, he is questioning every tenet of this act. You know, Steve, before the break, you were saying that the language is fairly clear, and certainly as a layman, you could go look at that language, understand what it's there for, its uses for medicinal purposes. I'm not naive, Steve. I'm sure that people are abusing this to some degree. I get that, but we don't need to change the entire system. We certainly don't need to put people that are sick on trial for just taking care of themselves, because ultimately all you're doing is taking care of yourself, Steve.
Well, and here's the crux of the problem, Tony. I think when you look at this from the outside in, that you're right, there are maybe some people that are going to abuse it. You're always going to have bad actors. Regarding any law, you're not supposed to drink and drive. You got those guys doing it. You're not supposed to rob banks, but you got guys robbing banks. No matter what you do, people are going to break the law. But you don't take the people who are obeying the law and try and construe them as narrowly as possible under the law so that you can call them criminals. And that's precisely what our beautiful attorney general is trying to do, Tony.
Yeah, well, again, it is very problematic. So as we look at this attorney general and, again, his ongoing assault on the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, he's not looking for repeal, and he doesn't talk about repeal. But again, he continues to talk in a way that's uncomfortable. He talks about, you know, we didn't want marijuana legalized. Well, nobody's asking for marijuana to be legalized. And so, again, there, ergo the problem, Steve Green, as the Attorney General continues to challenge, especially in all these municipalities that are now putting up roadblocks, limiting dispensaries, limiting, and in some cases, stopping the dispensaries from opening or forcing them to close. You know, there's a whole commerce part of this. The commerce part of this is being affected as well. We know, and it was in the paper just a few weeks ago, the state of Michigan profited to the tune of $8 million last year as a result of the medical marijuana industry. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you know, we can feel fairly certain that that number will grow. You would think they would want to work with the practitioners. You would think they would want to work through dispensaries to make sure that they're responsibly being put up so they can continue to grab more tax dollars.
Well, and you know, the number that you just quoted there, Tony, $8 million, isn't the amount of money that has been welcomed by the state of Michigan in way of revenue from the industry. That's the amount of money that's come in just through the card registration program. That's the amount of money the act itself has created by having people register under the program. That's the surplus. That's the amount of money that the government is underfunding the program. Now, mind you, these are cards that are not being issued to patients in a timely way. The law says you got to do it inside of 15 days. They're not doing it inside of 4 months. It's a horrible application because they don't want this medicine being used even by the medical community because it muddies up their system. Right now it's easy to call marijuana illegal and to gain all of the money for criminal justice that it currently serves. If they have to call a majority of that now legal, it leaves that money off the table for them. The criminal justice system doesn't get that money. The people who do the incarcerating don't get that money. Remind you, this is a private industry, and the people that are in the charge of the government right now are looking to make more private industry out of the prison system. And that's a horrible way to go because what happens as a result is you end up taking and enforcing entities of government to find ways of funding those systems because they're feeding off the populace. And if you take a large segment of that populace away, they've got no funding left. So this is really a matter of properly funding our police and our criminal justice systems and not giving them awful, search, seizure, and forfeiture laws to lean back on to fund where you don't have tax money coming in anymore.
Well, and again, Steve, you know, this law has created, let's talk about the caregivers for a moment. You know, not just the patients. You know, this law has created a whole strata of caregivers who never under... And the last thing these people are drug dealers. The last thing that they ever thought we'd be doing was cultivating marijuana for medicinal use. But they understand that the people that they are caring for, they're mostly their loved ones, Steve Green, you know, finally have hope, are finally getting some relief, are finally feeling better, and to be placed in this situation. And again, this is a deliberate effort. We're not talking about people that are abusing the system. We're talking about a system that is deliberately going out and picking on people that didn't want this situation to begin with.
Well, when you look at the situation of Barb Agro, Barb is the 71-year-old woman that I think that you mentioned that had the husband. They worked at Clinical Relief. Barb is a 28-year veteran of the Orion Township Police Department. She used to be a dispatcher. She was simply a secretary at this place when it was raided ostentatiously by Mike Bouchard and the Oakland County Narcotics Task Force. When they did this, Miss Agro simply did the same thing that any other elderly woman would do in that situation, freak out. She's like, why are you doing this to us? We're just elderly people. Look, I have arthritis. I have a qualifying medical condition myself. I'm growing some plants at home myself. What? So they went and they raided her home. But they didn't do it right away. They did it like the next day. And by that time, they had already were in the process of raiding her son's house. And their grandkids were at home. So Miss Agra wasn't at home the time that the raid occurred. Sal was, her husband. And it's an awful situation because a neighbor of his son bravely came over to his house and said, look, they've got guns pointed at your grandkids are there. So
he went running out of the house, left his wallet behind, left his door unlocked. And the police came to raid his house while he was gone. They said, your door's unlocked. No, you don't get the coverage of the medical marijuana protection. Your cards mean nothing, and we're going to prosecute you just like a thug, like a criminal.
Yeah.
Like a gangster.
And this is just wrong, Steve. I want to try to get a quick call in because we're just about out of time. So let's do that. Let's welcome Joe in Detroit to First Shift. Joe, welcome. You're on the air with Steve Green.
Hey, Tony. It's Joel. Anyway, the issue that I have not been, having heard being addressed is secondhand marijuana smoke. I smoked it for 40 years, and I think it's terrible, anyone being arrested for using marijuana. But there is a lot of us in recovery, not just from marijuana addiction, where secondhand marijuana smoke could be very, very detrimental to our health.
Well, and of course, there are, thank you, Joel, for your, and I'm sorry about that, Joel, thank you for the call. You know, as we, and you know, Steve, the delivery system for marijuana, I mean, people can use a vaporizer. The secondhand smoke issue doesn't have to be an issue.
You know what, people always point to marijuana as smoking. It's just the idea that delivery of this medication is smoking is not acceptable. There are so many other forms of delivery. I mean, there are edibles, you can vaporize. You know, this is a something that can actually be absorbed through the skin. You know, people use tinctures. They put it under their tongue. People are not always walking around stoned. They're just taking care of their medical
care. Absolutely. Steve Green, we're just out of time. Thank you so much. Listen to him tomorrow at noon, and we'll look forward to having you back on again sometime in the very near future when we continue the DREAM Act. Is it time? Well, according to our Facebook poll yesterday, you all said yes. We'll take the quick break and be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update picking up a bit, 75 coming in towards 696. The Ruther coming into 75, but fortunately, we have lighter than normal traffic, so actually getting through that interchange at a pretty good clip. You're not finding any big slowdowns on any of the roads unless you're going eastbound. Then that bright sunshine is making it a little tough to see at times, and people tap the brakes to slow down, and then we get a little bit of a backup. But right now, you are in great shape everywhere.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today. Our high near 89 tonight. Chance of isolated thunderstorms, a low near 72. Tomorrow, possible storms and a high near 93. Right now, it is hazy at Metro Airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
We will strike to defend our pensions. And it'll be a campaign of strike action without precedent. Yes, we hope for the best. Yes, we will negotiate. But we plan for the worst. And today, this is our union's call to arms.
That's Dave Prentice, head of the 1.3 million member British Union Unison. Hundreds of thousands of British teachers and other public workers went out in a national strike Thursday to defend their pensions. The government is trying to cut pensions in various ways in austerity budget moves. Workers and their unions say these pension cuts are not needed, and if there's money to bail out banks and money for war, then there's money for public services. The strike Thursday closed 80% of British schools and public transit was disrupted. Prentice warned the government that this fight over pensions is very serious and could ultimately be the largest, most sustained strike action in British history.
The fight of our lives may be an overused cliche, but that is what this is. And it's a fight that we can win. It's a fight that we must win. And together, it's a fight that we will win.
Canadian postal workers are back to work, but they may legally challenge a government-imposed contract. Jesse Russell reports.
On Tuesday, Postal Service in Canada attempted to return to normal as workers dug through a two-week-old backlog. Employees had been on strike against and locked out by Canada Post for 2 weeks due to the inability of the Postal Service and the Canadian Union of Postal Workers to reach a contract agreement. the Canadian government stepped in and imposed a four-year contract on the workers. The union plans to challenge the legislation as it imposes the demands of the employer on the workers, even providing the workers with lower wages than in the original contract proposal. The union plans to take the issue to court and may also file a complaint with the Human Rights Commission. The basis of the complaint would be that new hires and veterans wouldn't have the same pension benefits, and that, allegedly, amounts to discrimination.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Let's also not lose sight of some of the other components to immigration reform. For example, making sure that DREAM Act kids who have grown up here in the United States, think of themselves as Americans, who are not legal through no fault of their own, and who are ready to invest and give back to our country and go to school and fight in our military and start businesses here, let's make sure that those kids can stay. We need to have a more balanced approach than just a verification system.
And that's President Barack Obama talking about the DREAM Act. You'll recall, folks, that I shared with you the story of a young lady from Sterling Heights, Albanian descent, has been here since before the age of five, only knows this country as her country, who is tried to deport. She spoke before and gave testimony before Congress just a few days ago, asking them to consider her plight. What is the DREAM Act and what does it do? And are you in favor of it? Well, our Facebook poll question yesterday, First Shift Facebook poll question yesterday was on that issue. And the vast majority of you support that quicker and easier path to citizenship that is provided through the DREAM Act. Joining us now is Crystal Williams. Crystal is the Executive Director of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, and she joins us today to help us work through this important issue. And Crystal, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
You know, it seems clear that we continue to have a great deal of controversy surrounding the issue of immigration. But the DREAM Act, if we can, and I believe we should separate it from the larger discussion, is critical for people like this young lady that I just mentioned here in Sterling Heights, Michigan, who has been accepted to the University of Michigan. She had a 4.4 grade point average, which means she's an exceptional student. She wants to go into the medical field, and yet, you know, our laws say that she must leave. Now, she's gotten a one-year reprieve, but I don't even know if that year is going to be enough to save her. What is the DREAM Act, and Crystal, in your opinion, why should we adopt it?
Well, the DREAM Act, it would allow people who have been here, who were brought here as children through no choice of their own, have been here for a lengthy period of time, have essentially become American, have completed high school or the equivalent, and completed at least 2 years of higher education or military service, and essentially would allow them to stay here legally. It's that simple. And quite honestly, I don't understand any opposition to this measure. These are people who did not make any choice of their own, yet have grown up as Americans, are already accomplished Americans, are trying to give back to the country, and the country is not letting them. Often what happens to them is they get the talk around the time they're 16, and that's the first that they hear that they are undocumented. So, again, there is absolutely no reason to vote against this measure, and yet this measure has not passed Congress, even though it has come up several times in the past 10 years.
Right, and that wasn't going to be my point. This is not nothing new, Crystal Williams. The DREAM Act has been around through a different political presidencies, and again, it's one of those that to me seems to be a no-brainer. So when we talk about those that are opposed to it, what are they opposed to? What are they publicly saying they're opposed to, Crystal?
Well, first of all, they bring out one word, amnesty. And rather than having a debate, what we do now, apparently, is we call anything that might benefit anyone not born in the United States amnesty. And we don't have a discussion about it. We simply call it amnesty, and that apparently is the discussion. So their basis for opposition seems to be, well, they broke the law, they should be punished, and we cannot exercise any sort of compassion. We cannot provide amnesty to anyone who has broken the law.
Okay, well, again, the lunacy of this must be lunacy hour, because the last topic was, you know, based in lunacy. The lunacy of this, Crystal Williams, is that we're talking about mostly innocent children. We're talking about children...
Yep.
That have absolutely no choice. It's not like they decided at the age of two to cross over the border and, you know, take a stake in some claim to, you know, an American piece of land, because that's not what's happened here at all. And to punish them for something that is of no fault of their own seems to be beyond unfair. Again, this goes to the question of morality. I mean, what does this country stand for, Crystal? You know, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. What happened to that?
We can't even seem to accept people who are not tired or poor, but are high-achieving and contributing members of our society, much less the people who need our compassion and need our protection. It's really a very shameful situation.
All right, so where are we at in the reality of modern-day politics? The president, as you know, just the day before yesterday, spoke eloquently in favor of the DREAM Act. The president's in favor of this. I'll suggest that most Democrats are in favor of it. What is the likelihood that this will move forward and be adopted as law?
I do not see it moving anywhere in the House of Representatives. The Republican Party has, except for a few courageous souls, in the Republican Party, the party has lined up against it consistently. Again, inexplicably, but consistently.
Crystal Williams, if we use the argument, you know, we need to take care of our own first. Let's just go with that for a moment. We need to take care of Americans first, and we're not doing that. So how dare we extend this courtesy to foreigners? How dare we do that? Well, the reality is, Crystal, these people aren't foreigners because they've lived here their entire lives. In fact, their parents pay taxes. They pay Social Security taxes. They're paying into the system. So it's not like they're not contributing to the system.
In fact, by leaving them undocumented, we are putting them in a position. I've met these kids, and I have to tell you, they want to work. They want to contribute. They want to give back. And we are putting them in a position where they can't. If we want to take care of our own, what we need to do is make sure that the people in our country who are here can be productive, contributing members of society. What we're doing is putting them into an underground economy. We're saying, here, you go clean those toilets at $3 an hour, where you're going to be paid under the table by the most unscrupulous employers out there. And, yes, I know that you're a potential rocket scientist, but you can't benefit this country. You can only benefit that guy over there who wants to hire you at slave wages in order to undercut his competitors. How does any of that benefit our people?
Well, you know, the conversation on the 14th Amendment, and you're right, this debate needs to happen. It should have happened, and unfortunately, it does become about that word amnesty, and I will never forget. I ran for Congress, Crystal, in 2006, and my opponent, who is an incumbent Republican, I had made a comment on my radio show one day years ago how I thought we needed to find a quicker path to amnesty, and I do believe that. I will always believe that. Again, I think of my parents, my grandparents, their parents. How many people from other parts of the world came and built the infrastructure of this country that we enjoy today? Why is it that we are so conveniently seem to forget that it was with the hands of foreign men and women that the infrastructure of this country was built? And many of us, either you or I or people listening to this program right now, are part of that system that now is called the dirty word amnesty. Sweet God, Crystal, when are we just going to have the conversation we need to have?
Well, people, I think, are getting caught up in myths, in things that they believe are true and are being told by some political leaders are true, which are not true. Things like, oh, well, you know, my grandparents came here and learned English. Well, in fact, they probably didn't. But actually, the newer immigrants are learning English at a faster rate than any of our ancestors did. Or there's myths that they just come here and go on welfare. No, they don't. They can't go on welfare, even if they wanted to. They come here, they work. They are trying to earn a living. They are some of the hardest working people we will ever encounter. Oh, well, they're just, you know, sopping off the system and not paying taxes. Well, there is this huge reserve account sitting in Social Security of people who have been paying into the system for years, but because they're undocumented, can't get their refunds.
Well,
they're contributing.
They are contributing, Crystal. And unfortunately, I think this is just, again, it continues to be a conversation that never gets beyond the conversation. And I just don't know what it's going to take to move the American people. I don't know what it's going to take to move our Congress. Again, we did a poll, very unscientific. Of course, listen, the poll I do here on the show doesn't prove anything. Those that listen to the show generally agree with me. That's all it really proves. But the point is that, you know, on 3-to-4-to-1 basis, people are saying, especially as it comes to young people, you know, don't penalize them for being caught in a system that they had no control over. Give them that path to citizenship and let them live productive, healthy American lives.
Absolutely. You know, actually, polling of the general public backs that up, too. When presented with the elements, not just of the Dreamers, but of legalization in general, in general polling, when presented with the elements, and presented in the toughest way possible, majority of Americans back legalization. They want people to have a path to legal status. They want them to be able or to pay taxes, pay a fine, and get on with their lives.
Absolutely. Crystal, we're just out of time. A website where we can get more information for you?
www.ala.org.
All right, folks, we do have to take the break here. Crystal Williams, thank you so much for helping us through that. I got to tell you, folks, we've got to change the conversation. We really do. A quick break here. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment?
Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Right now, the Home Depot has special financing for 12 months store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. With more time to pay, you can start your projects now. Stop letting the grass grow under that mower you want. Stop waiting on that new grill and start grilling on that new grill. Now's the time, thanks to 12 months financing store-wide. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through July 6th, terms and conditions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you, Graham.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
Kids don't come with instruction manuals. I'm Stacey Bachman, and I'd like to invite you to join my husband, Steve, and I here on 1310 WDTW Saturdays at 9 a.m., where on a weekly basis we'll bring you interviews with national and international experts, along with the best tips and techniques and newest information to help you and your child overcome the challenges and hurdles that you're facing so they can reach their highest potential. It's not an instruction manual, just parents helping parents. The My Great Kid Radio Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on 1310 WDTW and on the web at My Great Kid. Detroit.com.
Looking for some affordable advertising options? Then you found the right place on 1310 WDTW, Detroit Progressive Talk Station. Live and local morning show, nationally known syndicated personalities throughout the day, and informative weekend shows. Hi, I'm Michael Gerson, and I'm here to help you. 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or even an hour-long weekend show. Give me a call, and I can help you. That's Michael Gerson, 248-324-2014. That number again, 248-324-2014, for all your 1310 WDTW Progressive Talk Station advertising needs.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. Mmm, the steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Thanks for punching in this morning. And, hey, Todd has been busy and has come to a decision. And if you would, Mr. Radford.
Todd the Intern's Song of the Day.
Neil Diamond. That's right, Neil Diamond's America, Coming to America in honor of the Dream Act. Jeff, is there any part of this story that made sense to you that we would get in the way of young people, bright, energetic, under no circumstances that they have control over why they're here?
Yeah, that part doesn't make – well, I mean, none of this is, like you said, none of the two things we've talked about so far in this hour have made sense, where if people are suffering, you're keeping them from something that helps them feel better, and then this part where it's, you know, they could help. I mean, they're the solution, and yet you're keeping the solution away from coming to fruition.
You know, and I think, again, about this young lady in Sterling Heights, a 4.4 grade point average. A path to the University of Michigan that is a scholarship, an all-inclusive scholarship. You think about what would happen to her and what may happen to her. Now, she does get a year reprieve. But what happens to her if they deport her? You wonder. Because the same opportunities in Albania are not the same opportunities she's going to find at the University of Michigan. That may be unfair. Because I've never been to the University of Albania, and I've not heard much about it, and I don't even know if they have a good football team. But I'm going to make some guesses here, Jeff. I'm going to guess that it's probably not an equal opportunity. And I could be wrong, so I'll say that up front. But wow. I just don't understand. Why are people afraid of immigration? Why are they afraid of amnesty? These are not people that are going to take your job because they're already taking jobs that you don't want. Remember? That's the whole argument. They're doing the jobs nobody else wants to do. All of a sudden you think they're going to start doing the jobs everybody wants to do? Oh, I get it. They have a work ethic, and that's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of their work ethic. Well, you should be, because these people get up and go to work, and they work their asses off. Blows my mind. I need to go back to something I was talking about a little bit earlier because we just don't have a lot of open line time today. But yesterday, and I need to be loud and clear about this, and this is another clarion call to the union leadership around the Southeast Michigan and throughout the state of Michigan. If there was ever a time for all of us to come together to unite against anything, that time is now. As a group of right-wing wacko politicians will be introducing right-to-work legislation in the state of Michigan. And I don't want to hear how the governor has already said he won't support it. I don't want to hear anything like that. We assume nothing. What we know we need to do is we need to band together. And again, I could really alienate some people with what I'm about to say. And I'm prepared to do that. We need, as labor, to come together and begin to fight the fights that are going to get us the victories, that is going to restore a little common sense to the middle class. If we don't figure this part out, 2012 will not matter. And I've been preaching this for the last 2 weeks now, and I'll preach it again today. If you are in a union, you need to get closer to that union. And for those of you that are in unions that have joined this right to work fight, you're traitors. Shame on you. Shame on you for turning your back on your brothers and sisters who get up every single day and put in a qualities day work for as little money as they get right now. They continue to sacrifice for the common good of each other, because what we're sacrificing for is the opportunity for somebody else to have a job. Union men and women are not selfish people. They're courageous people. They're heroic people. Union men and women are fighting a war at home. And we need to unify. We need to unify in this cause. Now, I hope you all get that, because I am going to fight as hard as I possibly can for that cause, for that very cause. Now, I mentioned earlier I'm doing a lot of speaking these days. You need to put me in front of your union hall. You need to ask your union president to put me in front of your union hall. Let's start having that real dialogue. Let's start talking about the stuff that's really going to matter. Let's start talking about winning and what it's going to take to win. So I need you to go to work today, and I need you to go to your, you need to get a hold of your union president, and you say, you need to get Tony Trupiano in front of this room. No, stop it. I'm serious. I'm fed up. I'm fed up with the divide. I'm working my ass off for you people. I'm doing it for me too, and I'm doing it for my family, and I'm doing for what I think represents the greatest threat to our society and our democracy. And if we come together, we can affect great change. But if we do not, the only promise that I can make you is that we will do nothing but bitch and moan and wallow. And I don't do that well, thank you very much. What are you willing to sacrifice to win? All I'm asking for is a little bit of your time. And then maybe a little bit of your effort. You know, Jeff, I go back to the conversation we began with Bruce Levine yesterday, how important that conversation is, and where we have yet to go with that conversation. When do we have him on again? Next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday, yep.
Now, you and I were able to get 20 books that we're going to give away. So we're going to start taking care of that as soon as we got them next week. You know, and I'm not, you and I don't practice this stuff. Jeff, why is this book important to you?
There's so many different reasons. And still, I'm not even all the way through with the book. I'm probably 80-90% of the way. And yet, you can break it down into, I mean, like you said yesterday, we were only through, what, page 40-something and for the first part of the interview. It's important based on, you know, how it describes the apathy. I don't even know if it's apathy. It's like beaten downness of how people feel right now.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about, the name of the book, by the way, is Get Up, Stand Up. For those of you that weren't privy to the interview yesterday and Bruce Levine, Get Up, Stand Up. And it's about unlearning some bad habits.
Tune in on the 4th if you missed the interview, by the way.
Okay, well, wonderful. Very good. Now I got a little clue. Now you're getting me a little bit there. All right. In the next hour, Joe DeSano and James Clift, we've got a lot to do. Union brothers and sisters, hear my clarion call. If we decide to come together, if we decide to unite and to fight, if we decide to unite and to fight, we will win, but we cannot do it as separate entities. We must come together. We'll take the break. We'll be back. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update is still good news along Southfield Freeway. You know, we have that construction closing M39 between M10 The Lodge down toward Grand River 96. You can get on there, but only one lane as you head southbound almost to Michigan Avenue. Same thing with the northbound side. Only one lane open up toward I-96. You can get on the Jeffries and move east in toward Detroit, west out towards 275. All looks good.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny today. Our high near 89 tonight, chance of isolated thunderstorms, a low near 72. Tomorrow, possible storms and a high near 93. Right now, it is hazy at Metro Airport and 64 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, the sex assault case against Dominique Strauss-Kahn appears to be in serious trouble. The credibility of the woman who accused the former head of the International Monetary Fund of trying to rape her is being called into question. CNN's Susan Candiotti reports the defense wants bail reduced.
The disclosure is coming from prosecutors. In fact, CNN has learned that a meeting took place yesterday called by prosecutors. They met with members of DSK's defense team and told them about some of the problems that they have discovered through an investigation looking into the background of the hotel maid.
Most of Minnesota's government is closed today. Governor Mark Dayton says lawmakers couldn't reach a budget deal.
Despite many hours of intense negotiations, the Republican legislative caucuses remain adamantly opposed to any additional tax revenue. Therefore, a $1.4 billion gap remains between our last respective offers.
Republicans say the governor gave up before the deadline. Iraq is taking control over billions of dollars in oil revenue that's supposed to help the country build up its economy. It was set aside by the UN right after U.S. troops arrived in 2003. Security officials are wondering how a man with no valid ID and someone else's boarding pass was able to fly across the country last Friday. Security consultant Errol Souther says there needs to be better use of technology at airport checkpoints.
I see a huge problem within the system because the system is now depending on human beings to vet other human beings without the capabilities of technology enhancing that performance.
The Casey Anthony murder trial is almost over. Closing arguments will likely be held tomorrow, and then the case goes to the jury. Anthony did not testify in her own defense. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The weekend is coming!
Stop by Ace this July 4th weekend and save over 30% on a canopy chair, now just $19.99.
The weekend is coming!
Or save up to 60% on a Craftsman 104-piece mechanics tool set, or save over 30% on a 9-gallon wet dry vac, each just $39.99. So visit your local Ace and get saving, then get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. Price is good at participating Ace stores July 1st through 4th.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is
Additional
coming!
Additional conditions and exclusions apply.
You gotta love lean beef. The only dinner that's got its own soundtrack. The sizzle. I mean, how many other lean dishes can you hear coming and enjoy every melodious moment of it? That's the sound of the sirloin's juices being seared in. And then, the encore. Every last Another reason why you gotta love lean beef. Love all 29 lean cuts at beefiswhatsfordinner.com.
Funded by the Beef Checkoff.
For the first time since the days of Netscape, fewer than half of Internet users now use Microsoft's Internet Explorer, although it's still number one. Net industry researcher StatCounter says Internet Explorer's worldwide share of the web browsing market has dropped to 47%. Mozilla's Firefox browser has slipped to 28%. So what's rising while the leaders are falling? Google Chrome. 20% of us use the Chrome browser now. 2 years ago, fewer than 3% of us did. A partial legal victory for Apple in Research in Motion, the BlackBerry maker, The International Trade Commission has upheld a ruling that tossed a patent infringement lawsuit brought by Eastman Kodak, which claimed the companies had stolen its intellectual property related to imaging technology. After the defeat for Kodak, its stock plummeted 19% in late trades. Ahead of the first opening bell of 2011's second half and ahead of reports on consumer sentiment and manufacturing, S&P futures are up a half point, NASDAQ futures up two. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
The state of our transportation system affects our commerce, our economy, and our future.
Ronald Reagan understood it. Bill Clinton, too. Transportation makes America work.
By modernizing and building roads, bridges, transit systems, and railways.
A network of highways and mass transit that has enabled our commerce to thrive.
Connecting millions of Americans to the economic mainstream.
Our country to grow.
Ushering in two decades of unparalleled growth.
The founding fathers knew. Strong transportation networks make America safer and more competitive. They even put it in the Constitution. And President Reagan knew that's one investment worth protecting.
Common sense tells us that it will cost a lot less to keep the system we have in good repair than to let it disintegrate and have to start over from scratch.
It's time for Congress to pass a robust six-year highway and public transit bill. Because when Congress does its job, Americans can get to theirs.
Clearly, this program is an investment in tomorrow that we must make today.
Paid for by ARTBA and APTA.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is coming!
Stop by Ace this July 4th weekend and save over 30% on a canopy chair, now just $19.99.
The weekend is coming!
Or save up to 60% on a Craftsman 104-piece mechanics tool set, or save over 30% on a 9-gallon wet dry vac, each just $39.99. So visit your local Ace and get saving, then get your weekend back. At Ace, the helpful place. Price is good at participating Ace stores July 1st through 4th.
The weekend is coming! The weekend is
Additional
coming!
Additional conditions and exclusions apply.
You gotta love lean beef. The only dinner that's got its own soundtrack. The sizzle. I mean, how many other lean dishes can you hear coming and enjoy every melodious moment of it? That's the sound of the sirloin's juices being seared in. And then, the encore. Every last Another reason why you gotta love lean beef. Love all 29 lean cuts at beefitswhatsfordinner.com.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano in our third and final hour of this Friday program. You know, somebody just posted to the Facebook page in regard to my little rant at the end of the last hour, great speech. You know, we fought off right to work back in 2008. We will do it again. They got away with the EFM law. They will not get away with killing the middle class. Right to work kills the middle class. Right to work would be the death knell. I'm telling you folks right now, I don't understand what you don't get about this. And maybe some of you are afraid of a little hard work. If you are, turn off this radio show and go listen to something else. Because I swear to God, we have so much work to do every single day. This isn't about November of 2012. To me, it's about July 1st of 2011. And I will fight with the last ounce of energy I have to turn this thing around. I'm committed to doing that. I'm just asking you to join me. If you don't have the balls to do that, then don't show up. Thank you very much. All right, in this hour, we've got a lot to do, so let me get right to my first guest, and because he's a great guy. I love this segment. Fortunately, we only got him for half an hour today because we've just got so much to get to today. We had to put in a guest at the bottom of the hour. I will remind you, if you want to join us throughout this hour at any time, 888-552-3595. Mr. Radford, do your good deed, please.
It's time to talk politics with our political strategist
from Main Street Strategies,
Joe Desai.
And he's back. Joe DeSano, thanks for being with us, Joe. A pleasure to have you as always.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I just wish I was bringing news of victories for working folks and people struggling to make ends meet, but we're under assault in Lansing. We're under assault in Washington, D.C., and everything you just said in leading up to this segment is dead on right. We got to fight, and we can't quit. We can't ever quit.
No, we can't, and we're going to get to this whole vacation thing with the legislature in a few moments, but Joe, you know, the President Obama spoke. In fact, one of our poll questions this week was, you know, do you feel like the president's press conference the other day, he was more aggressive than he's been? You know, do you think that this is good news? You know, almost resoundingly, people said, you know, we're going to let his actions speak for him. Doesn't really matter what he said. Actions are going to speak louder than words. And, you know, as we take a look at what the president had to say, as we take a look at the fight right now, which is over the debt ceiling, you know, I got to tell you, I still go back to January of this year. I go back to the president blinking and giving the Republicans what they wanted on extending the Bush tax cuts. I'm telling you right now, if we end up blinking again as Democrats, Joe, I'm going to be one unhappy progressive.
Well, and I'll be right there with you. And I think your assertion of judging the president based on actions and not rhetoric, I think, is dead on. In fact, I can't believe that what I'm going to say next hasn't gained more traction in the media. But the White House is negotiating deep, deep, and devastating cuts to Medicare. It's being discussed right now in the back rooms, all in this belief that that independents are going to rejoice once we have a debt ceiling deal. It's time for the Republicans to be put in the full spotlight. It's time for the Democrats and the president to draw a line in the sand and fight, fight, fight. If we can't stand up and first of all, it's bad policy and it's bad politics. Democrats supporting cuts in Medicare right now give away any traction we have over the Ryan plan. The devastating Ryan plan, which is the best thing that's happened to Democrats in probably 10 years. So it's bad on the politics, but also it's devastating on the policy. I mean, some of these Medicare cuts are going to have real world consequences for people who are in pain, people who are chronically ill. One of the more devastating points here in what they're trying to do is they're trying to create a copay for folks who receive home health care. That's 40,000 union jobs here in Michigan that are home health care workers that are going to be in deep, deep trouble along with their patients. And we've got to fight. And frankly, I'm a little bit concerned that the occupant of the Oval Office is more interested in getting a deal done with the Republicans than taking the fight to them.
Well, again, going back to my reference in January of this year, when the president allowed the tax cuts to be extended, and because the Republicans were holding over the president the extension of unemployment benefits, what are the Republicans holding over the president's head this time, Chip?
Well, I don't know that they're holding anything over the president. I think there's this lust to get a deal done. I think it's a lack of steel in the president's spine. I think we need to call our state. We need to call our state delegation to the Congress and Senate, and let them know what our opinions are. I think we need to turn the phones on and call Debbie Stabenow and call Carl Levin, and remind them of why they're in Washington. Their intentions are correct, but they're lusting after a deal. They feel many people in Washington D.C., including the president, are risk averse, and they're more interested in currying favor with these fickle voters that are called independents, and this phantom ideal that if somehow we all get along, things will be wonderful. And that's not the fact, because our opponents on the other side are dedicated warriors, ideologically warriors, and they're also warriors on the well-being and the health of the middle class, and it's enough. We've got to find that. We've got to look inward and decide, what are we here for? It's not just to occupy a political office, okay? It's not enough to be patted on the head and get the glory of being a U.S. senator or a president of the United States. You're there for a purpose and a reason, not just to collect a paycheck and push a button. You need to stand for something. And I'm not sure what these folks in Washington, D.C. stand for right now. When they're going to gut Medicare, it boggles my mind. It enrages me, and I can't believe this is not gaining more traction in the media. These meetings are going on as we speak.
Oh, you know, for people that don't understand, Medicare is the most successful government program ever to be developed. That is factually correct. So those of you that want to pick on me about my facts, do your homework first. Medicare.
Well,
is...
and go back and look at the state of health care for senior citizens. You know, in the 1920s, 1930s, all the way up to the 60s when Medicare was instituted. I mean, we had awful poverty and sickness among this group of people. And we must never turn back. And anyone who wants to turn us back, we need to fight them tooth and nail.
Well, you know, it begins, Joe, as we take a look at this, and you're right, we need to get a hold of our Michigan delegation, both in the House, the House of Representatives, and in the United States Senate. We need to let them know that we're not anxious for this deal. We don't need a deal. What we need is backbone. What we need is for
somebody. We need leadership. We need some steel in the spine. We need someone to say enough is enough and take the fight to them. The president shouldn't be afraid to drop into Maine and take on the two senators there and tell them, no, it's not going to be like this. And I see none of that.
Well, let me remind people, Joe, that Bill Clinton faced this very same situation, and he didn't blink, and he won. And our economy won. At the end of the day, our economy won. He didn't allow the Republicans to hold him hostage, and this was a guy that was constantly attacked. President Obama's getting a free pass in comparison to Bill Clinton.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact there's a huge gulf of difference between the two men, and I make no bones of my admiration for former President Clinton on many different fronts, and I think the current president could learn many, many lessons from President Clinton, and we'd all be better off for it. There's no question about that in my mind.
Well, I obviously agree with you. So as we you know, and let's talk about this. The debt ceiling deadline, I believe, is August 2, if I remember that correctly. What happens, Joe, if we don't have a deal by August 2nd?
Well, I think what happens is you get a series of brinksmanship moments where they'll pass momentary extensions. You know, there's the whole argument going on right now that the debt ceiling itself is unconstitutional because the Constitution is quite clear that we can never, the full faith and credit of the United States must never be threatened. It's interesting how the Republicans wrap themselves in the Constitution when they feel that it gives them rhetorical high ground, but the full faith and credit clause is sacrosanct. And, you know, I think what will happen is we'll have the brinksmanship, and our president has shown to not be able to play that game very well.
Well, it's not too late, of course.
It's not too late, and that's why people... And when I say this, when I ask you to call your senators and remind them, if it's ever a straight-up vote, they would never vote, for example, for co-pays for home health care workers. But if it's part of a broader deal, I am afraid they'll blink.
Now, as am I. Joe, we've got to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back. There's much to get to, including our state legislature, who finished late in the day yesterday. Now they're off on hiatus, break, whatever you want to call it. Basically, they're being lazy. Some of them involuntarily, some of them quite voluntarily. Joe DeSanto, my guest, he is a partner with Main Street Strategies. A quick break here on the first shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
We spend federal money to save money. Where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update does include a few accidents. I-75 northbound at 12 mile, an accident there in the left lane. We've been slow from before 696 and coming off the Reuther, heading north on 75, and then 75 much further north at East Holly. That accident moved off to the right shoulder. Southbound US 23, just before M14, we've got an accident there. It's in the median, and it looks like traffic has been slow coming in toward North Territorial, trying to head down to 14.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny skies today, our high near 89 tonight, a chance of an isolated thunderstorm, and our low near 72. Tomorrow, possible scattered thunderstorms and a high near 93. Right now at Metro Airport, it is partly cloudy and 68 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
AutoZone. Save big on your next oil change with help from AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Protect your engine and save big right now at AutoZone. Get a 5-plus quart oil change jug of Peak conventional motor oil and an STP or AC Delco oil filter for just $9.99 after $5 mailing rebate. A complete do-it-yourself oil change deal for just $9.99. Restrictions and details at store. Protect your engine and save big. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Right now, the Home Depot has special financing for 12 months store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. With more time to pay, you can start your projects now. Stop letting the grass grow under that mower you want. Stop waiting on that new grill and start grilling on that new grill. Now's the time, thanks to 12 months financing store-wide. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through July 6, terms and conditions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, President of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you. See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk Station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Thanks for punching in this morning. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Joe DeSano, my guest. He is principal with the Main Street Strategies, a political consulting firm based out of Lansing. He joins us this morning. And as we take a look at the summer months, what you and I will be doing, which is fighting that good middle-class fight, Joe, what will our friends in the State House and Senate be doing, sir?
Going fishing. Going fishing. In fact, you know, they're leaving Lansing this morning, or in many cases late this last night, and they're slapping themselves on the back for 6 months of legislative victories, and now they're going to cruise for 2 full months. They're not going to come back to the Capitol until after Labor Day. A lot of folks lecture me that I should have a better respect for the members of the House and Senate and the institutions, and I tell you what, I say hell no. I say the vast majority of them are gutless wonders who are led around by the nose by their leaders and do real damage to the middle class. every day that they're there. And I think they should be focused on solutions and not vacations. It's really quite simple as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but take 8 weeks off when there is so much going on. To take 8 weeks off, Joe, when we know that the state is in dire circumstances. To take 8 weeks off when there are when the average person is less secure than they've been in a very long time seems to me to be immoral.
Well, I think it absolutely is immoral, and I think each and every one of them needs to look inward and try to figure out what they were elected to do. And they'll try to tell you, oh, you know, we meet with constituents and we do coffee hours, and, you know, that's all just a canard. And I think what I would like our folks to do out there is take pictures of their lawmakers when they're out over the next two months. If you can find a lawmaker and you can actually see and touch them like a zoo animal, you should take a picture of them just to prove what they're doing. And I'll guarantee you, it's not what they want you to think they're doing. They are literally going fishing, and we let them do it. And we give them an incredible pay rate. We give them incredible benefits, and all I ask for is an honest day's work. You know, let me ask you a question, Tony. Can you take 2 months off?
No, I'm trying to figure out a way to take 2 days off.
Well, exactly right. And I think there's plenty of people in your listening audience and across the state who can't take one day off, who have more than one job. You know, there's single moms out there who are working two or three jobs just to keep the home going. And you know, they got a legislator that takes off for 2 months, and it's just wrong. And, you know, that single mom is maybe dealing with school cuts. You know,
well, Joe, let me ask you a question. How can we argue against a part-time legislature when they're basically working part-time anyway?
Well, I agree, and a lot of Democrats get upset when I advocate for a part-time legislature. And you know what? I'm unabashedly, unashamed a supporter for the part-time legislature. I'm not sure they could do worse part-time. And we're certainly not getting our money's worth. The state's being completely mismanaged and managed to the benefit of corporations as opposed to individuals.
Well, no, wait, hold on a second. Don't they take basically a month off during the Christmas holiday?
The amount of time they take off is ridiculous. They take 2 weeks off for Easter spring break. They're probably only in session maybe 80 to 100 days a year, if you really look at it. It's a racket, and I'm fully convinced that a part-time legislature would be just as effective. In fact, I would say this, we gotta just burn the damn place down, frankly. That's my opinion. I mean, they are not doing any good. In fact, I think in 90% of the cases, the legislation coming out in the past 6 months in particular, it is more damaging than helpful. That's for darn sure.
Well, you saw that their very conservative former member of state politician Jack Hogendyke dropped not a bomb, because we knew the right to work stuff was coming, so I don't want to give it more credit than it deserves, but certainly dropped that at the end of a legislative session. Now we take the next 8 weeks off. That doesn't mean they're not going to be fighting for this legislation. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to hear from a lawmaker from time to time. Certainly we will on this show, because the Democrats that I have on a regular basis have asked me, in lieu of the fact that they can't go to work because they're barred from doing anything right now, if they could spend more time on my show, which, of course, I'm more than happy to give them the opportunity to do. I guess if we've got the time, I'd like to hear what's on their mind. Maybe we can start some trouble this summer.
Come on your show. The guests on your show are not the show horses. They're the workhorses. They're the people who want to get down and dirty, get their hands dirty, and fight and work for the middle class of the state. And that's to be commended. And the people who come on this show aren't part of the problem. They're part of the solution.
Well, again,
that I'm convinced of.
I'm just, you know, what is it, 148 lawmakers? Is that what the total is, Joe?
Yes.
148 people making basically $80,000 a year. I'm going to just keep it simple. That's basically what they're making.
Well, and also a very generous benefits package that pushes it closer to 100. But, you know, who's counting?
Well, I guess
not
I am.
When you're cutting teachers. Yeah. When you're cutting teachers across the state, yeah, I think we should count.
And that's the story. One of the stories I'm not going to get to today, but I will get to next week. We just teachers alone, we're losing 500 teachers over last year's fall enrollment. 500 teachers come this fall. 500, Joe.
It's a disgrace, a shame, and you know, I blame the lawmakers, but I also blame us for letting it happen.
Well, and again, you know, my whole rant in the last hour, and actually in the 6 o'clock hour, you know, Joe, and I'm not asking you to agree with me, but I think this is an amazing opportunity for organized labor to step up and change the face of democracy in the state of Michigan. I believe that they have the infrastructure to do it.
If they don't, no one will.
You know, I honestly, they've got to let go. They've got to let go of this change to win thing. They've got to let go of this split between the AFL and the change to win. They've got to come together.
Well, I think in Michigan they've really, those ties have always been maintained very tightly. I think change to win is more of a thing from the national perspective. I mean, yes, of course, there is a change to an organization in Michigan, but the split among organized labor isn't as wide as it is in many other places. But I think everyone would be served to be under the same umbrella. Certainly working folks would be better off. And you go back to your point of organized labor needs to do it. I think a lot of those actions are already underway. I think the seeds have been planted, and it's just going to take a matter of time. And also, the one thing we got in our favor is the average person out there is really starting to feel the squeeze and feel the pain, and they're starting to come our way.
Right.
We just got to stand for something when they turn to us.
Absolutely. Joe, we're out of time. We'll visit again next week, and that's never enough time with you. Joe DeSanto, thanks so much.
Thank you. Happy 4th of July.
And the same to you. Enjoy it. When we come back, folks, James Cliff will be with us from the Michigan Environmental Council. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, still trying to get back to normal in a couple of accidents seen southbound 23 just before M14. That earlier accident that's been moved off to the shoulder, trying to get that cleared, and all that traffic on 23 backed up toward North Territorial to get a little easier down to 14. 75 north at 12 mile. That accident still trying to clear from the left side. Hopefully that'll be back to normal before too long with our lighter than normal traffic. That should help a little bit.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny skies today, our high near 89. Tonight, a chance of an isolated thunderstorm and our low near 72. Tomorrow, possible scattered thunderstorms and a high near 93. Right now, Metro Airport, it is partly cloudy and 68 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
We will strike to defend our pensions. And it'll be a campaign of strike action without precedent. Yes, we hope for the best. Yes, we will negotiate. But we plan for the worst. And today, this is our union's call to arms.
That's Dave Prentice, head of the 1.3 million member British Union Unison. Hundreds of thousands of British teachers and other public workers went out in a national strike Thursday to defend their pensions. The government is trying to cut pensions in various ways, in austerity budget moves. Workers and their unions say these pension cuts are not needed, and if there's money to bail out banks and money for war, then there's money for public services. The strike Thursday closed 80% of British schools and public transit was disrupted. Prentice warned the government that this fight over pensions is very serious and could ultimately be the largest, most sustained strike action in British history.
The fight of our lives may be an overused cliche, but that is what this is. And it's a fight that we can win, it's a fight that we must win, and together it's a fight that we will win.
Canadian postal workers are back to work, but they may legally challenge a government-imposed contract. Jesse Russell reports.
On Tuesday, Postal Service in Canada attempted to return to normal as workers dug through a two-week-old backlog. Employees had been on strike against and locked out by Canada Post for 2 weeks due to the inability of the Postal Service and the Canadian Union of Postal Workers to reach a contract agreement. The Canadian government stepped in and imposed a 4-year contract on the workers. The union plans to challenge the legislation as it imposes the demands of the employer on the workers, even providing the workers with lower wages than in the original contract proposal. The union plans to take the issue to court and may also file a complaint with the Human Rights Commission. The basis of the complaint would be that new hires and veterans wouldn't have the same pension benefits, and that allegedly amounts to discrimination.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock, and we're going to check in again with the Michigan Environmental Council. We had we actually had James Clift on with us a couple weeks ago. They released a report, the MEC released a report just the other day that showed that the residents of the state of Michigan costing $1.5 billion annually in health care costs as a result of our coal-burning plants. And then I read yesterday that we're building another coal-burning plant in northern Michigan. And then, as we were just talking about, we have our legislature going on an 8-week hiatus, apparently because they don't feel like there's much going on. Or maybe they feel like we don't need to address some of these issues. By the way, of course, DTE has refuted the MEC report, but James Clift is here to just give us the facts, and then we'll decide for ourselves. James, it's a pleasure to have you back on First Shift. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks very much.
Let's talk a little bit about this report. $1.5 billion annually is a lot of money, James.
It is a lot of money, and it's not even all of our coal plants. These are just the 9 oldest coal plants brought into service between 1949 and 1968. So this is really only about a quarter of our coal capacity is causing this damage. And what a report issued a couple years ago by the National Academy of Science found is like the 10% of your dirtiest plants on average cause like 43% of the health impacts. So these are the ones we're targeting. These are the ones we think we need to phase out as quickly as possible.
All right. Now, when we talk about health conditions, we're talking about asthma, respiratory ailments, cardiovascular problems, amongst others. You know, but James, are we talking about people that live in a close proximity to these plants or anybody that lives in the state of Michigan?
It is. The impacts are spread across the state. There is greater impact as you get closer to the plants, but it really does impact people all across the state. And I thought it was interesting that both the utilities have reacted to the report, but neither have disputed these health care impacts. They talk about how, oh, they're in compliance with federal law and how they have upgraded these facilities a little bit over time. But neither of them said, oh, we don't think these impacts are occurring. It's just legal for them to do this.
Well, yeah, that's the point. They may be in compliance with federal law. That doesn't mean federal law is in compliance with modern-day America, does it?
No, I think that's the problem. And we have a choice here. I mean, these are plants that, in the case of some of this capacity, we don't need it at all to serve Michigan customers. We're in a situation now where our demand for electricity is actually down, but our rates keep going up because they refuse to retire these old plants.
And I think phasing out these plants, and maybe that says something, and to be honest, James Clift, maybe it says something about how nearsighted we are with regard to our electrical needs and building an infrastructure for the future, because we know that we need to update. We know that there are alternative technologies that we are not putting the proper amount of money into R&D. And so as we take a look at that, you know, and the monies that we could save by retiring some of these plants, don't you think that money could be better used for alternative energy sources?
Well, it's alternative energy sources that we know are here. We don't really have to do that much more research and development. We know they're here. They employ more Michigan workers. Instead, we're buying $1.4 billion worth of coal every year in Michigan and sending all of that money out of state, sending it out west, sending it out east to other states so their economies can be a little healthier. Ours gets a little weaker.
All right, now, I had mentioned that I just read this yesterday, but there wasn't really much to the article that they're building a new coal-burning plant somewhere in northern Michigan. I don't even know where it's at. It just it was just a paragraph story. And so instead of, and I don't know how long it takes to build a coal-burning plant. I'm going to guess it takes a few years. You know, instead of walking down that path, obviously it's time for us to take a look at alternatives that we know are already producing clean energy, as you and I have just talked about 30 seconds ago. Is there any way we can maybe shut this down that they don't end up building this plant?
You know, my guess is that they won't build it. What happened yesterday is the state issued them an air permit, giving them permission to build it. But I think that, A, they don't need the power, and B, it is so expensive. This is in Roger City. It's called Wolverine, and it serves a lot of the co-ops in northern Michigan. And what would happen is they built this plant, it is expected that their electricity bills would double, maybe even more than double, you know, in upper Michigan to pay for this plant. So you would have your electricity bill go from, you know, an increase, I think, of $75 a month, they're talking up there. So I think at the end of the day, the co-ops realize our customers can't afford this. This is crazy. Let's not build this plant.
Well, as it comes to the health aspect of this, we're talking about $1.5 billion. You know, and I would imagine that as we look at hospitalizations, we looked at doctor's visits, we look at prescription drugs, we look at breathing treatments, we look at all of that. You know, certainly the question to ask is, if we were to retire these nine plants, how long, James Cliff, do you think it would take before we would start to see a positive effect on, you know, on the entire healthcare side of this?
The impacts would be immediate. You know, those costs would start to drop immediately because so many of these are impacts that are kind of instantaneous impacts. Now, there is some long-term damage being done by this air pollution also, so there would be long-lasting impacts that would save us money down the road. But you're right, we're crazy. On one hand, we're arguing about how can we reduce our healthcare costs. On the other hand, our regulators who regulate the electric power industry say, oh, we can't consider healthcare costs when deciding, you know, which plants the utilities are running or which ones we should tell them to run. They don't even consider this data when they're deciding which plants to retire and whether or not this is a good deal for Michigan ratepayers.
Yeah, well, this brings me back to this 8-week hiatus they're beginning starting today, James Clifton. You wonder, I mean, this is an issue that needs study. This is an issue that needs a commission, and they need to be meeting on this, and they need to be coming up with an alternative plan, which I'm sure the MEC would be happy to provide all the data they would need in order to move forward on this very quickly. In fact, I don't know this to be a fact, so you'll correct me if I'm wrong, James, but I would think that if they were to come to you, let's say tomorrow, let's say Monday or Tuesday, say, hey, listen, we understand that we need to sunset these coal plants. We need to put other systems in place. Can you give us a plan to proactively do that over 5 years? Would you be able to provide them with that plan?
We can. We've been working on that. And, you know, we realize we don't have all the information. They've got better access to that information. But at least something in the law should say that the utility should be required to do a long-term plan and explain to us why the investments they're making are the best for Michigan ratepayers. Why are what you're doing is good for us? Because we're the ones who are kind of guaranteeing your rate recovery. We're guaranteeing your profit. Explain to us why what you're doing benefits us.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, again, this is one of those issues, and I'm not trying to be overly harsh. on this legislature, but it's just one of these issues, James, where you take a look at the cost effect analysis, you look at the benefit, you look at creating jobs, because if we were, again, to go into the alternative energy field, and we also know that there are federal dollars available to help build this infrastructure, but because we're not participating, we're not getting those monies, which means we're not creating good jobs. I mean, James, the domino effect of this is just positive, positive, positive.
Yeah, we explained to a lot of people where if they just looked a little, opened their eyes a little wider, kind of looked at the big picture, health impacts, jobs, you know, what's the future of Michigan going to be, that we would change the way we were operating there.
Well, again, this is just another one of those where you scratch your head and you go, okay, folks, what do you get? And then it goes back to that three-word phrase that, unfortunately, James, I use on this show a lot, follow the money. If we follow the money here, we follow it to a pretty large lobby that's probably doing an excellent job of keeping many of these lawmakers comfortably in campaign cash. I'm just saying that's probably true.
Well, and you look at how we allow the utilities to make money. Basically, what we guarantee them a rate of return, but it's all based on how many assets they have, how much capital they have. So there is a built-in bias for them to keep these plants open longer than they need them, you know, where they don't need them to serve Michigan customers anymore. They're still going to try to keep them open because they get a guaranteed 11% return on investment. So we need to change those rules, and you're right. The legislature is the one that has the power to change this. We did a panel before the legislature earlier this week. We had 124 staff members and other participants come to our presentation. We had the author of the study present it. You know, it seemed to be well-received. They seemed to like the information. The question is what will happen next? Will they act, or will those political strings stop them from doing so?
Well, again, they go on vacation today. I would think this fall you're going to have to bring this stuff back up, James. I mean, I know you know this, but...
Yep. Well, we're going to continue to raise it at the legislature and at the Michigan Public Service Commission. The governor's about to appoint a new commissioner. We're watching very carefully as he does so, because this is a person that has a major impact on... Where's Michigan going? Is it going to move forward, transition to clean energy, keeping more of this money at home, or is it going to be more of the same old thing?
Well, and again, and it's time we start investing in alternative energy sources so we can start diversifying our local economies. Folks, if you want more information on this study, go to environmentalcouncil.org, environmentalconcert.org. Look in the newsroom. You'll find everything there. James, thanks for being with us. I know we'll be visiting again.
Thanks very much. Appreciate
it. James Clift with the Michigan Environmental Council. We'll come back and wrap things up for this Friday. On the other side of this break, I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. It is a blessing to be able to sit with you every day. I hope you feel the same. Let's take the break. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
With Tony Triano.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, are you a flake?
Well, I think that would be insulting.
But you understand when I say that that's what the rap on you is.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
AutoZone. Save big on your next oil change with help from AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Protect your engine and save big right now at AutoZone. Get a 5-plus quart oil change jug of Peak conventional motor oil and an STP or AC Delco oil filter for just $9.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. A complete do-it-yourself oil change deal for just $9.99. Restrictions and details at store. Protect your engine and save big. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Kids don't come with instruction manuals. I'm Stacey Bachman, and I'd like to invite you to join my husband, Steve, and I here on 1310 WDTW Saturdays at 9 a.m., where on a weekly basis we'll bring you interviews with national and international experts along with the best tips and techniques and newest information to help you and your child overcome the challenges and hurdles that you're facing so they can reach their highest potential. It's not an instruction manual, just parents helping parents. The My Great Kid Radio Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on 1310 WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Looking for some affordable advertising options? Then you found the right place on 1310 WDTW, Detroit Progressive Talk Station. Live and local morning show, nationally known syndicated personalities throughout the day, and informative weekend shows. Hi, I'm Michael Gerson, and I'm here to help you. 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or even an hour-long weekend show. Give me a call, and I can help you. That's Michael Gerson, 248-324-2014. That number again, 248-324-2014 for all your 1310 WDTW Progressive Talk Station advertising needs.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour as we get ready to wrap things up today. We have had one busy, busy day. If you want to join us, we are now open lines to the top of the hour. 888-552-3595. I am very pleased with the amount of activity on our Facebook page today. People paying attention, and I do appreciate that, as I will continue to bring you from whatever sense of priority and passion that I have, those things that I believe are important to you. And I want to encourage you folks to continue to reach out to me via email, because many of you have. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that we're having an opportunity to connect and ultimately, hopefully, to make a difference. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Tim in Brownstown to First Shift. Tim, a happy 4th of July holiday to you. What's on your mind today?
And same to you, my friend. I had a concern. You know, we definitely have a health care problem in this country, and I'm all for bringing everybody to the table. We got to figure this out somehow. I believe the Obama plan talked about taking $500 billion out of Medicare. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. How would that affect Medicare? And then all these waivers that some of these companies are getting that they don't have to join for, I think, like the first year or two. And from what I hear, Tony, it's because these businesses could go out of business because of this.
Well, listen,
I mean,
we
got to fix it, man.
Yeah,
you know?
We do need to fix it. I'm not in love with Obamacare. I'm not in love with it. I'm not. And in fact, I think we need to go to a single-payer system. Medicare is the answer. If we just put everybody on Medicare in this country, we went to a single-payer system. Yes, it's universal health care, Tim. Yep, I'm the crazy liberal. But that solves the problem. Everybody in this country should have a right to health care, and they should have equal access to the same doctors that the wealthy do. And they don't, Tim. They don't. And so the answer, you guys, you can. We've got a lot of background noise with Tim. Thank you. The answer is universal health care. Well, you know, perhaps we're not ready for that yet as a country. And I'll go with that. So what the president has done is a step in the right direction. But it isn't the end of, this isn't the end of the story, and it doesn't solve the complete problem. Ask anybody that is stressed with any kind of health care cost, and they will tell you that it's something that keeps them up at night. You know, the majority of bankruptcies in this country are as a result of medical debt. The vast majority of bankruptcies in this country are as a result of medical debt. It shouldn't be that way. Getting sick yourself, having your child, your spouse get sick, a family member get sick, should not be a source of draining your savings, if God forbid you even have savings. And so, yeah, the system's broken. It is severely broken, but we already know that Medicare works. We already know that. So let's embrace that as our form of national medicine, adopt it, and move on. Is it going to cost some extra money? You're damn right it will. Absolutely will. And for those of you that want to start quoting, well, look what's happening in Canada and Switzerland and other places where they have universal health care. You know what? People are doing just fine. People are getting along just fine. And for those of you that then want to send me email or call me and say, yes, but there are people that line up to go to the doctor here because they can't get care in Canada. Yes, the inpatient people do that. Absolutely. There may be some specialties that are particularly stressed. But a Canadian doctor is no less energized and educated than an American doctor, because chances are they're using the same school. There are excellent medical schools all around the world. And there are many places where universal health care is the system, as it should be. We are so backward in some things in this country. Health care is one of them. When it continues to drag down your gross domestic product every year, when the cost of health care affects your economy on an annual basis, and when you go to reform it and you only give it lip service, well, then you're not going to really solve any problems, are you? And when that becomes such a critical issue to your collective bargaining agreement, to the way that you deal with your own family, when it's part of the discussion ad nauseum, you know, it's that old definition of the word insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. That's what happens with regard to health care in this country. We keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. It's not working. It's not working. One more quick call before we get out of here for the holiday, and let's welcome, let's go to the phones. Welcome Kirk and Livonia. Kirk, we don't have a lot of time, but wanted to get you in.
Tony, I love your show. I just wanted to let you know one thing. I agree with, in principle, what you're saying, but Medicare is not a great system, and financially it's not a great system. I think the reasoning that they have it and what it does is great. It doesn't work financially, and that's what they have to address. We can do better than that.
Well, you're right. We can do better than that, but we need to fashion a single-payer health care system. In fact, John Conyers has a proposal, and I don't know what the HR number is, but it's out there. He's been promoting it for years, and Kirk, thanks so much. We're just out of time. We know how to fix the problem. We just need to decide to take the deep breath and plunge in and do it. That's what we need to do. All right, fair enough. We got our staff meeting a little while. Todd, Jeff, plans for the weekend?
Just taking it nice and easy, hopefully.
Are you going to get to see your father finally?
Yeah, I know. I haven't. I still got his Father's Day gift with me in the car. So, yeah, finally, hopefully I'll be able to give it to him, I guess.
What'd you get him?
I got him. He'll have to wait and find out because I know he's listening.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we wouldn't want to do that. Okay. Todd, what do you got going on this weekend?
I think I'm going to the Tigers game on Sunday. I believe it's afternoon.
Yeah, it would be the afternoon. Yeah, Sunday would be afternoon.
Yeah, so looking forward to that.
Cool, and that's it? Besides that, just kind of chilling?
Yep, sleeping, chilling, hanging out.
Well, very good. Good. I'm glad that you guys are going to just take a little me time.
What about you, though?
You know, I've got my usual weekend routine, which I enjoy. I've got my yard work, which I'll do on Saturday. We're having friends with my friend Mark and Kathleen tomorrow night. I'm not sure what we're doing after that. I mean, some of the kids are gone for the weekend. Some of them are here for the weekend. We got the backyard, the nice backyard with the nice pool. So I would imagine that's going to be a big part of my future. And, of course, I'll be, now I got to get up early and listen to the show on on Monday because you won't tell me what you did.
That's right.
That's okay.
I'm taking it over. It's going to be all about stamp collections and rubber bands.
Okay. First Shift with Jeff Radford starting on Tuesday. All right, folks, that'll do it for us. I want to thank all of you. Remember, get closer to your union. It is the difference. I'm Tony Trupiano for Jeff and Todd. As always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our last look at the roads for the day and for the week, and it all looks great. You're not finding any of the normal big delays coming into 75-696, not like what we normally see during a morning rush hour. You've got a few pockets here and there of slow traffic, but nothing really to need to add extra time to your commute. Earlier accident, 23 south near 14, that's pretty much cleared. 75 looks pretty good coming up from downriver as you try to head in toward Detroit. Looks good going from 75 to Fisher to that 75 to Chrysler interchange.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Mostly sunny skies today. Our high near 89 tonight. A chance of an isolated thunderstorm and our low near 72. Tomorrow, possible scattered thunderstorms and a high near 93. Right now, Metro Airport, it is partly cloudy and 68 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony.